welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Hey, everybody. Phone number 866-901-ADAM. Hey, Bill. Engineer Bill. Let me just give you a quick... If you see us all sitting here and no one's has their headphones on and Damashek's not in the room and everyone's just sort of hanging out doing their own thing and Rachel's putzing around on the computer, yell into something or throw, or if you have to, throw like an ashtray or something against the window.
An ashtray just for that purpose.
Because I think the thing is people are sort of used to the heads up that we get from you.
I gave a minute 45, a minute and a half.
We can't be expected to pay attention this early in the morning.
Yeah, I don't think anyone heard that in here. Maybe it was just coming through the headphones, or the cans, as we call them in the business. All right, well, anyway, no one listens to this part of the show anyway. That's why I usually just rant for 20 minutes, and then we go to commercial. Oh, many things to talk about. First, welcome back, Rachel Perry.
Woohoo! Back in studio, in the house. What up, Adam Carolla?
All right, still on New York time. Couple things. Well, we got a lot of Grammy talk, and we're going to continue with our music. I have my favorite songs, my least favorite songs. It's something, if you listened yesterday, you'll find out I'm passionate about. It speaks to an overall picture. To me, it's just the tip of the spear, which is I think we ingest a lot of crap that we don't necessarily like in this society, and we just do it. We just take it. We just drink stuff that doesn't taste too good. You go to the... Sheck and I went out to breakfast yesterday. I got the passion fruit iced tea when I ordered iced tea. Always a little uncomfortable. They don't even say it's passion fruit anymore. They just bring you, hey, can I drinks over here, gentlemen? Yeah, I'll have an iced tea. Oh, okay. Then 10 minutes later, this tastes like somebody floated a scented candle in it overnight. I wanted just regular iced tea. No, that's the passion fruit. Yeah, I just wanted iced tea. We don't have that. Well, you don't have regular iced tea? Most people like it this way. Most people that order iced tea and think they're going to get iced tea like the passion fruit flavor. So, like, but using your logic, most people that would order a pepperoni pizza would like it with a little mango on it, just sort of on your own. It's a flavor. See, as I've had to explain, coffee and tea, they're flavors. That's what we want.
Don't you see that this is why you like the death penalty. This is why I don't like the death penalty.
More
because,
torment.
No, it's because when you say, you know, they take the... It used to be a year or two or three ago, if you ordered iced tea, they would say, yeah, iced tea. And by the way, today, the iced tea is passion fruit. Now they don't even have to mention the passion fruit part. It's the same thing. We'll put you to death. And why? Because you're a vicious murderer yourself. It's a short leap between that and then there's a, we're going to put you to death. Why? We don't have to explain why. We'll just kill you because...
Slippery slope.
Right. Mm. You see?
Slippery slope. And speaking of that, then we'll get back to all this. I was watching the news this morning, and you know, there's been all those fires in Alabama. They're burning down the churches. They're burning the churches left and right in Alabama. And I thought, we got to put an end to this. And then I learned that arson teams have called in profilers. And I thought, wait a minute. Profiling? Oh, no. No, not if it means that. And that's where I draw the line, because I've learned from watching TV, you can't profile. Learned from watching the news, profiling's not a good thing. And I thought, you know, that's what happens. It's a slippery slope. Mm. I mean, first, you know, yes, you're bringing in profilers to stop these churches from burning in Alabama, or maybe find a kid who's been abducted. Next thing you know, there's profiling going on at the airport, and that won't do. So I realized, I put a phone call in almost immediately to the arson investigators and said, put an end to this profiling. It's a bad thing, profiling. Haven't we learned that?
Yeah.
You can't profile.
You can profile, but you can't profile.
That's right. I'm going to work that into my next live read. Yes. Yeah. You're profiling. It's bad, right?
What? I would like to profile all of us and see what we would profile ourselves as.
You can't do it. I've learned that profiling is a precursor to judging. First you start profiling. Next thing you know, you're judging and you can't judge.
Profile Mike Lynch for a second.
Go ahead and turn profile.
I mean, look at that.
There he is.
Look at that beard. He is trouble.
I'm just saying. You don't want profiling. And then they always do this one, too. It's not profiling. It's racial profiling. Well, I'm sorry. When you profile, you profile. You just do. When they're looking for people.
What other kind of profiling is there other than racial profiling?
I said racial. Racial.
Oh.
Sorry, babe. It's not all about you.
Oh.
All I'm saying is if a kid is missing and they know it's probably somebody within a few miles of the residence, they know it's a white guy, and they know he's between the age of like 32 and 44, and he lives alone and has some sort of factory job, and 99% of the time it's that guy. They know that guy. They're not looking for Asian women at this point. You want them to profile. And yes, race factors in. That's what most terrorists are of a certain descent, and we should go ahead and keep our eyes open for folks that look like the folks that are doing whatever they're doing.
Why can't we profile?
It's all part of, I don't know. I want to go to Canada and find out what their take is on it. I'm all for profiling. And here's how you avoid your culture, your race, whatever it is. And like I said, there are plenty of crimes that are exclusive to white guys, too. Like I said, all this abduction. All this child abduction stuff, they don't go looking for gangbangers. They don't go looking for terrorists. They look for Tad in about 3 years. That's basically what they're looking at. Lonely white guy, loner, bad haircut, lives, has contact with the family, lives. That's how they find the guy. Because if they just start looking around, like if you're the parents and your kid gets ripped out of his bedroom at 2 a.m, and now they got to go out and find the kid because you know the clock is ticking. They don't find him in the first, 48 hours. There's a good chance he's dead. What do you want him doing? No profiling? I would like the ACLU kids, one of their kids just to get pulled out of the bedroom and then no profiling. You just have to look for everyone. Women, young, look for elderly Asian women. Everybody.
Dogs.
Everybody.
Cats.
Yes.
I like it when this TV show with Patricia Arquette, the seer.
Medium.
Medium.
It's the best show.
The police actually use these. I don't like it. You understand? I don't like it. What in hell?
But they work.
They call in voodoo people to track criminals down?
Yes, it does happen.
What gives?
Well, here's...
What year is this?
Usually they do this. I see... It's a wooded area. I see woods.
But okay. Cops actually do this? Is it the year 732?
Look, Patricia Arquette did not ask for this. It was a gift that was bestowed on her.
Mm-hmm.
And she... Yes. It's a curse as much as a gift.
All right, I'll sign off on it for Rachel's the sake of a TV voice. Show. Yeah. But in the real world, if I disappear and they're calling in, some voodoo people to track me down, just have the funeral.
All right, so we won't use any profiler. Do you want to use profilers?
Please use the profile. Okay. Nay on Sears.
All right. Oh, we got... anyway, Grammy. It's our big Grammy show. I don't even know where to begin anymore. Here's my thing. I realize I can't get through one vitriolic rant without stumbling into another, and that leads into another, and I get all over the road, and it's horrible radio, but now John has reminded me of a song that I can't stand, and I forgot, and I wish it was on my list. John?
Yeah.
Your nominee for the world's worst song?
Eric Clapton's song, Cocaine.
Yeah. This is a ridiculously bad song and I'll tell you why it's a great nominee, because it's under everyone's radar.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's one thing if you hate Don't Worry, Be Happy or something like that. Who cares? This guy's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. No one would ever say a bad thing about Eric Clapton. Oh, he's slow hand. He's amazing. And no one makes fun of this song either. But this song and I Shot the Sheriff are horrible, long-winded, just songs that would never die. And then as I was watching the Grammys last night, I stumbled onto another one when they were doing a tribute to a great producer, whatever it was. We Jammin'. I think Ziggy Marley. We're jamming in the name of the Lord. I hope you like jamming. That song blew huge ass, and we all just gobbled it up because we're like, there's a handful of songs where you're scared of being called square. We're jamming. Any reggae song that we have to pretend like we like most reggae. Reggae is only a notch above ranchero music.
No.
Yes, it's usually
stop.
Crappy. It's a quarter notch above.
Stop that.
Let me explain what reggae is for. Reggae is for when you want music, but you don't want to think about it. You're getting a buzz. You're on the beach. You're having a conversation. You're laughing. You're trying to get laid. You want some ambient music. It's like a movie. You want something going on in the background. Otherwise, it'll sound a little flat, but you don't want to think about it. You don't want to go, hey, this is good stuff. And that's why they repeat the lyrics so many times. It doesn't even actually sound like a lyric anymore. You don't have to focus on it. It's background stuff. A pool party stuff. You know, gets people in the right mood. Gets them a little horny. Gets them a little lubed up. That's all. But it's horrible music. Don't get me wrong.
Here's how you know reggae is too repetitive. The only reggae artists you know are named Marley. It's either Ziggy or Bob.
Right.
There's no other reggae artist.
Good point. Please, we got to find We Jammin' or We're Jammin' or whatever that song is. It never ends.
Marley's birthday this week.
I think,
please.
Look, you have to smoke copious amounts of weed in order to enjoy this. Or you got to be...
Have some respect for the king.
You have to be a white poser.
That's what you're calling me.
Kind of, yeah. That's what you have to be.
Second time in 2 days you call me a poser.
No, I think it's nice
you
and
don't
fun
really
at the
like
very
this
least.
Music.
I,
no, listen.
It's pleasant.
Here's the thing. This is actually the most palatable of all the reggae songs. But why don't we get with jamming in here and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's horrible music. It's nothing you would... Nothing... Have you ever put on reggae music at your home?
Absolutely.
Yep.
All the time.
Really?
Yep. I put it in
alone?
My car.
Mm-hmm.
I have a station dedicated to it in my car.
Reggae music?
Yeah.
Really?
And without...
Yeah.
Yeah, and without being too dry, the thing to say, I will say, is that Bob Marley's dance hall music that precedes this brand of reggae, the thing that... The precursor to it is fantastic music.
No.
You've never heard that, yeah.
No.
I like
bad.
It, but reggae, I agree with
it's
Adam.
A cop out.
It's repetitive, but here's the thing. If you have Bob Marley's greatest hits, that's all you need as far as reggae is concerned.
Well, there's a good point. You don't need a vast selection of it. You just spark up a doob
that's an
and
interesting,
listen
that's a
to
nice
the best
point,
stuff.
Yeah.
And I would
legend
argue,
is all you need.
Rachel Scratch Perry disagrees with that.
I would argue that if you could get one CD from the genre, best of from the genre, and you're now covered, it's not such a great genre. Or it's at least a little repetitive or lightweight. Yes, you get the best, but wait till we hear We're Jamming in the Name of the Lord.
Well, let's see if we can find some of that dancehall stuff that preceded it, because that's the good stuff.
Well, we can all agree that Cocaine
is a
horrible, horrible song, and like I said, I Shot the Sheriff, not a great number for Eric either. And who was it? Is it Marley? Yeah. Yeah. How this became a hit? Sort of a crappy reggae song covered by a white guy that has no real tempo or cadence to it.
Again, though, what happens is the most frustrating thing is when people have good songs and they choose whoever makes these decisions about what gets played on the radio and popularized are the worst songs.
Yes.
You know, Motherless Children by Eric Clapton. Now, that's a number.
Yes,
But you don't hear that one on the radio.
Totally agree. Andrew?
Yeah?
You say I'm wrong about the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
You are wrong.
Not true.
Can't you? Rachel didn't even catch the part where... Now, I don't think their new stuff is pure S. I have to put Andrew on hold because he yelled the S word. And everyone waxes poetic about the old Red Hot Chili Peppers. I was listening to it last night with my wife, who's a staunch defender of the band. Does not hold up very well. A lot of energy. It was good when you were drunk in 19.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I think it's...
They sound like they're missing a handful of band members.
Well, this is arguably their worst song right here. When Anthony Kiedis decides to become a balladeer, that's a problem.
Andrew?
Yeah?
Please don't cuss into the radio, you jackass.
I'm sorry. I forgot.
It's passionate.
All right. You're passionate. What else?
Yes.
What else would you like to say?
Under the Bridge is probably one of the greatest songs of all time.
They have a couple of good songs. They just don't have... A lot of them sound the same, and they're kind of...
Did you even listen to the last album?
Do we have Suck My Kiss? Now, that's... versus particularly...
Go get it. I brought Toad the Wet Sprocket in as my challenge.
All right, we'll go head to head.
I was trying to come up with a playlist of stuff... Yesterday, I just didn't have time, but I was coming up with some stuff.
I've got
did
my
you even
things.
Listen
Hold
to
on
the,
a second. I
listen?
Want to examine that. You were coming up with stuff yesterday.
Well, I was trying to come. Well, I was on a plane and I was trying to like go through my music selection, but there's just so much stuff. I don't know. I just want to make you a list of stuff that.
Well, make a list.
Well, I'm working on it.
We have Rachel's best and worst song.
How long is the plane flight from New York to
LA? I had to get some sleep because I was going to have to stay up and watch and walk. The line was on the plane.
I'm so just saying, if you ain't getting it done on a 6-hour flight, you ain't getting it done. I'm just saying, be realistic. If you have that thing where you're like, I got to sit down and draw I got to write out a few thank you notes, or I got to put together a list of, or I got to compose something. If you don't do it, then it ain't happening. That's me personally. I'm not going
to
find
it while I was sleeping.
Okay, all right. We have we got jamming, Leon. Let's hear this. Again, hey, definitely if you're in Jamaica and you're wearing a wrap. I'm wearing my Terry.
Where's our studio
Terry
bong?
Cloth wrap. Yeah, I'm getting stoned and I'm hanging out. I'm fine. But when I'm sitting in my Mazda pickup truck in traffic on the 101 in North Hollywood, I don't want to hear this on
now
the radio.
That's a valid point. See, this to me, maybe it's nostalgia that makes it. This reminds me of my college days and going on spring break and hanging out on the beach and so on and so forth.
You're not smoking enough pot while you're driving. That's why you don't want to listen to this.
Oh, no, I am. Well, actually, I eat it when I drive because if the cop comes, I don't want to roll the window down and have the big plume of smoke. But, yeah, this song, like I said, it's like Happy Birthday. It's not a good song, but it reminds you of a pleasant day. Every time I heard Happy Birthday, it seems like I was eating cake and opening a present. Yeah, of course you're going to like Happy Birthday. But if you just heard Happy Birthday when you're driving in your car to work, you'd go, this song blows. And by the way, today's not my birthday. So this song is fine if you're, again, poolside and you got a nice buzz going, but it shouldn't be played by radio stations. All right, turn it up a little. And also he's jamming in the name of the Lord.
I'm jamming. I hope this jamming's going to last.
We're jamming in the name of the Lord. We're jamming.
There's a part here where he goes, and I hope you like jamming too, which is one of the worst sort of rhymes ever. All right, let's talk.
Understand he's also very high when he's singing this.
No kidding. Keith?
Yeah.
I'm dead wrong about reggae?
I don't want to kill my buzz.
You're dead wrong about reggae, man.
Oh, well, you're calling from Phoenix, which is, basically the cradle of reggae music.
Sure. Right.
It was born in Phoenix. Yes.
I'm not a stoner, right? I don't have any dreadlocks, okay? But reggae, like I say, is very resilient, very, very rebellious.
Yeah.
Very,
cockroaches are resilient, too.
And just like reggae, man. It stood the test of time.
Yeah, man.
It's good music.
Does it mean I want to hang out with them?
You sound extremely ignorant talking about reggae music.
Really? That I can't just voice my opinion and say it sucks?
No, that's your opinion, and that's great. And
right, but here's the thing. That's what I mean, ignorant. You see, I'm uptight, I'm closed off, I'm not open to other cultures. I'm square. No, I understand what it's for. And when you travel and when you're on vacation, it's great. It's not great to sit around and listen to in your car. It shouldn't be played on the radio. Yes, tell me why I'm ignorant, Keith.
I just did, man.
Why?
Reggae is a very, like I said, it's a rebellious form of music. It's very, very resilient.
Well, so is punk. So is punk rock.
Yeah, and reggae and punk rock are tied together very closely.
Well, so is folk music. I mean, most music is born of rebellion.
Rock and roll in general.
Rock and roll. All the 60s rebellion songs? I mean,
so if you're going to use that argument, then why don't you just say
I'm not using that argument. You're using that argument. It's rebellious. And, yeah, he's jamming in the name of the Lord. Take that, man. He's thumbing his nose at the man. This is right up there with Fortunate Son by Creedence.
Okay, Adam, then what do you listen to? What do you listen to in your car that makes you so special?
I'm not telling you that what I listen to makes me special. I'm just telling you what I don't want to listen to, but I'll play you some stuff
What do you listen to?
Well, first off, I like classical music. I listen to a lot of classical music, and I think that is a much better choice oftentimes than a lot of just the sort of background noise that we hear. But jazz is good, but I like John Hyatt. I like Graham Parker. I like Elvis Costello. I like The Pretenders. I'll listen to just about, I'll just listen to the best of whatever. I don't marry myself to one group because usually you'll find that a lot of groups have a couple of good songs that you like, and then there's a couple of ones you don't like. And so you have to sort of, why live and die with one group? You know, why not spread it around?
Hey, you're talking to a guy that's got a musical library in his house, man. I agree with you on that point.
You mean his mom's house, Keith. All right, touche. Look, let's take a break. What do we got there? Tad just ran in. You all right, Tad?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I got the Red Hot Chili Peppers for you.
Oh, good. Well, we'll have our little Toad the Wet Sprocket. Here's all I'm saying. Some bands are better than others. Pearl Jam, better band than Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I agree. Now, they're just
better.
I agree
better.
With that, yeah. But now Toad the Wet Sprocket is another issue.
Right, you're yeah. going to hear it
in a second. I couldn't even name a Toad the Wet Sprocket song.
That is shocking.
What are you trying to say, Adam?
This is the first time you haven't heard of something on this show.
No, I'm not saying that I couldn't. I haven't heard of Toad the Wet Sprocket. I'm saying that they're one of those bands that I just could care less about and that I couldn't tell you a song.
All right. Well, you've not changed my opinion whatsoever about this.
The music will do the talking. You'll see. When we get back, I will make my
case. Yes, I understand your point, Rachel, but I don't. That's why I'm playing it.
Yeah, I know. You don't have to insult me. Come on.
Well, I mean, you have a track record of not knowing certain names and certain things.
Yes, of a crappy band.
Well, you don't even know one song.
Well, I remember Toad the Wet Sprocket from like 1,000 years ago.
All right. Let's...
Just because their crappy music didn't stick in my head.
All right, Rachel. Boy. Go study on the plane.
Prove me wrong.
I'm going to try.
Prove me wrong, bitch.
Let's take a break.
This is Republican Representative Richard Martin. Call Adam Carolla now at 1-866-901-ADAM. And then ask Jesus to forgive you.
That's right. 866-901-ADAM. All right. Here's an interesting point, though. I don't like reggae, but once in a while, an up-tempo rock song will adopt a reggae beat, and I love that.
That is basically what dancehall music sounds like. The precursor, the forefather of reggae sounds like upbeat, dancey kind of reggae.
I will definitely get down with that. The beat, maybe it's on a quaalude or something. It needs a little bump. You know what I'm saying? That's all. It just needs a little kick in the ass. Gary Busey may or may not come into studio. He's hurt you before.
What? Don't set yourself up, Adam.
He's initiated it, evidently.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah, he called Mike Goggins, Hal Booker, late last night. And I guess he feels bad about not showing up last week, so he wants to show up today.
Really? Because I'm over it. I really am. But he's not. All right, he wants to come in here.
He wants to come in. He booked himself, and supposedly he'll be here around 7:15.
Here, Buddy Holly himself. It'll be great
for a music-themed show. He knows music. He has Buddy Holly's actual guitar. I'm sure he's pulled that out a time or two, giving you the El Cabong. And we'll bang away on that gladly. Here's the thing about Busey. I like Busey. I know Busey. It's just, you know what he's like? He's like sort of... going to the amusement park versus going to see a movie, which is like, come on, we'll have a good time at the. I just don't know if I'm up to it. Let's just go sit down and ride.
I might get nauseated.
Yeah, that thing, that free fall. Oh, what do you mean? It's a great time. It's a rush. I know, but I just gotta feel like I like to relax a minute. That's how Busey is. Like, he's a great time. He's a party. He's a good guest. He's smart. He's nuts. He's funny. He's all of the above. But sometimes you do have that kind of like, oh, we're not going to Magic Mountain? Oh, okay.
Let's see a movie?
Yeah, okay.
Well, not as much fun, maybe, but nice and steady.
Let's just take in a movie. I got to relax.
sit in the AC and...
I had some bad soft-shell crab last night. I think I'd like to just sit this one out. Yeah, there is that thing in life. It happens. It's sort of what sports are all about. It's that sort of thing. There's that part of you that wants to get into the fray, and then that part of you that's like, I'm going to sit this game out, drink a Gatorade, and talk on my cell phone. You guys trade elbows in the paint. And then there's a part that wants in. As you get older, you want out. That's really, you want to be the guys on the sideline, sitting on the bench. You know, hey, you kids have fun on the zipper. Pops Carolla will be over here. You and Busey have a good time vomiting on each other on the zipper. I'll be on the bench here eating the cotton candy.
Drinking Metamucil.
That's right. Not drinking it. Take it in IV form.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I got a drip. Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris, I don't believe I've ever met. And I like to think that I've met every person in show business. I don't think I've met Chuck Norris.
Let's say that Busey does show up.
Mm-hmm.
Chaz Norris and Gary Busey, what a show!
Yes, that's a lot
of
show.
Can you imagine? Wait, maybe we could keep them around and they could fight to the death.
Yeah, and imagine a, 18-year-old Dave Damashek drinking Iron City beer in the parking lot somewhere in Beaver Falls, thinking that one day he would just be sitting in a room trading a chapstick with the likes of Gary Busey and Chaz Norris.
Beyond my wildest dreams.
That's why I think you should leave. Rachel, you didn't sit home in Canuckburg and think about this stuff as a young child, did you?
Think about Chuck Norris?
Yes. And Gary Busey?
No.
That's my point. That's why you can stay. Ozzy, another person I'm guessing wasn't on your list, is coming in here to do a review of the Grammys, although I heard his cable was a little in and out, so be prepared. Usually he paints a vivid picture with his tongue. This time it might be a little scattershot.
You know, although, wait, when you say that, do you mean like, I mean, I watched 48 Hours a whole bunch of times when I was
teenager. Oh, really? Yeah.
So that's does that count?
Well, that's a different guy.
Who is that?
What's his name?
Nolte.
Nolte.
Oh, why do I always get those two mixed up?
Because they're blonde and they're sort of heavy set and they're crazy.
They both look kind of the same.
Both have mugshots.
Have multiple mugshots, yes.
Name me a movie that... What movie was Gary Busey in?
Well, we'll figure it out later.
Look at that.
Buddy Holly.
Buddy Holly? Have you heard of Buddy Holly?
I know. I mean, we met once, but that's all in the past.
Briefly.
Yeah.
Do you have a child? Okay.
Also,
we're going to do more staff songs. We're going to do more of our karaoke songs. Jerron did a wonderful one with Big Tad on assist. We have more coming up. Also, we got news. We got sports. All right, so it's Grammy talk. I was complaining about music. Ranchero is amongst the worst. And here's the thing, everybody. There's no room for cultural sensitivity when it comes to critiquing music. If it blows, it blows. I don't care if it's from your native land. Ranchero is some of the worst music ever to come down the pike. It is all the things that are bad about oom-pah-pah music, which is bad. It doesn't, you wouldn't think it would get any worse, but this is it. And people are like, well, you don't speak Spanish, or you don't. Well, look, I don't speak German either, and I could enjoy Love Me Do by the Beatles in their German form. It's fine. You can still tell a good song. Also, it's rough about 7:30 when I'm hungover and I'm coming down in the garage and this stuff is blaring out of it on my 2-year home improvement project. And usually, here's how about every morning for the last year and a half when Ozzy was redoing my house went... He got turned up a little, Mike. Here's what it sounded like. Ozzy, what's going on? I'm in my bathrobe, slippers. I'm standing in the garage. Ozzy, what are you doing with that? Ozzy, you don't put the scratch. You put the scratch coat on, then the brown coat, then the color coat. Can someone turn that goddamn music off? I'm going insane.
That would make me throw up if I was hungover. This music.
First off, if you live in Southern California, there are 80 stations dedicated to this with a signal that is more powerful than any AM station in the land. You know why? Because they have their towers across the border, and they don't fall under any kind of FCC regulation or anything, so they just pump out 800,000 watts, and it consumes. You can hear Teamo stations or Ranchero stations out of Guadalajara better than you can hear KFWB here. Yeah, flip around your radio in Southern California and see what stations are sort of prominent. Seems only second to religious stations. I don't know why, but they have the market. Maybe that's God screwing with the airways. But the point is this stuff just never ends. It's ubiquitous here. in Southern California. And anytime there's construction going on, this is what's blaring because this is who's working on the project. And if you're the sole white guy there who's doing the thing, you will just slowly be driven to suicide. But I got to say this, it adds a surreal quality to just about any situation. There's a guy lying down. He's impaled on number 4 rebar. He just fell off some scaffolding. He's got rebars coming in one side and sticking out. He's got a through and through rebar wound. And this is blaring in the background.
It's that bass line, the beat,
yes,
that just keeps driving into
every
your
part
skull.
Of it's wrong. Wow, you think Ernesto is going to have to be airlifted out of here? Jeez, he's in horrible shape. Somebody get a tourniquet. I think he's going to die. Someone should contact his family. It has a surreal quality to whatever is going on. Well, I don't know. Should we cut the rebar off and airlift him, or should we try to pull? He's impaled, obviously. He's not going to live. All right.
Wow.
So, Javier?
Yeah.
You're saying that you're Mexican and you don't like ranchero music.
No, I'm Mexican and I don't like that ranchero music. I grew up around it, you know? And being light complected in an environment like that, you know, it's like people look at me like, what's going on here? Like, what are you doing here? I say, you know what? I'm Mexican. What's going on?
I have said this about ranchero music. I think if you pumped it into a room that had a reptile in it, let's just say you had an iguana or like a salamander or snake or something, maybe salamander or something else, but you just had a reptile in it, that reptile would kill itself in 12 hours. It would eat its own tail. Even the reptilian brain is too advanced to enjoy this music, and it's grating. That's one thing. I will say that. And that is the difference between reggae music and ranchero music. Reggae music just sort of falls into the background somewhere, not even sure it's on after its 20th go-round. You know, if you've heard Ziggy talk about jamming in the name of the Lord for the 155th time in 10 minutes, it just sort of goes away. Ranchero music never goes away. It's a perpetual nail on the chalkboard.
Yeah, it never does. I hear it every day, every single day.
By the way, if you hear ranchero music at work, that's a bad sign. That's my rule. That's what I will tell my son. Son, if you go to a job, wherever your job is, I don't care where it is, and there's ranchero music playing, it's time to get out.
You're either swinging a hammer or you're waiting tables at Chi-Chi's.
Something is gone wrong in the career department. Javier?
Yeah, but the thing is, how can you go ahead and compare ranchero music with reggae? When you say it's like a step lower, it can't be. Ranchero music is all in itself. You know, it's a horrible type of music.
No, I'm defining the two. I'm separating the two. Ranchero is a good couple of clicks below, way below reggae. They're both bad. One is aggressive. The other just sort of sits there.
So the thing is, I have a hypothetical for you. What about, and they were to go ahead and offer you a lot of money, right? Or a good-looking woman. You know, hypothetical.
To play okay? Ranchero?
Yeah, Ranchero.
Yeah, I would do it.
They were to lock you in a room for 6 hours.
I would do
ranchero
it.
Ranchero music. How would you take that?
I can be bought. I made fun of Mountain Dew for the first 5 years I was on the air, and then they gave me like $20,000 to do a 30-second radio spot. I gladly did it. I gladly did it. And Kimmel always made fun of me. He's like, what a sellout. I was like, who's the joke on? I made fun of them for 5 years, and now they're giving me $25,000 for 10 minutes work?
Laughing all the way to the bank.
That's right. All the way to the bank. All right. We turn this down before Ozzy orgasms in the next room. He's going insane over there. Oh, we got so much to do.
Well, someone seems to be avoiding the issue at hand, which is proving that Toad the Wet Sprocket is somehow better than
Red
Hot
Chili
Peppers.
We'll get to that. Jacob? Jacob, he thinks that Jump is a horrible song by Van Halen. I disagree. I wouldn't argue for it in the quality department, but it's a good song. It's a fun song, yeah. Nothing wrong with Jump.
Except that it sucks.
It's not a good song, but like I said, there's room for not good. Corn dog, not a good food. Still room for it on the plate every once in a while. No problem with that.
Not at my dinner table.
All right. Two Princes by the Spin Doctors. That's one that Sheck hates. Oh. I got no problem with that either.
That one kills me.
If you...
Here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying about this song. Not a good song again, but this riff here moves along. No problem with it. It's not grating.
When this song was popular, so stupid. I thought of driving off the road many times to my death.
That is true. Would have been nice. A lot of songs are stupid. I mean, a lot of songs are ditties. You know what I mean?
This makes you want to smack the guy that's singing. What are you talking? What's he talking about?
But don't you think a lot of songs are sort of grating and painful, whereas there are other songs like Oombop or something that are just sort of ditties?
Yeah.
They sort of are what they are.
Well, that one's all right. I mean, it's cute.
But what's Oombop about?
It's nothing. But
that's
one,
stupid. You just called this one stupid. That one's stupid too. But you
these
like
are
it.
Adults.
This one. These are people who had some reputation for being decent. A decent jam band.
Saying Hanson didn't have cred.
No. What is this song about?
This song's an embarrassment.
But let me just say
two
this.
Two princes.
But here's what I'm going to say, Rachel.
Say it.
I'm saying that if you define a song like this one's stupid or what are they talking about, well, that could hold true for good songs. Songs that you enjoy.
Plenty of Zeppelin songs are...
Almost half of the Cars songs that are nice songs that just have ridiculous lyrics that don't make any sense. They're not bad songs.
Yeah, but these guys have beards and dress like hippies.
All right. They're long hairs. There's no doubt about it. I'm just saying... What?
Said, how dare you?
What is it? Well, yeah, he has a beard. Dresses like a... The point is you can't just go, well, it's stupid, or what are they singing about?
I don't have to have a... Unlike you, I don't need to have a regulation of reasons to hate one song or another.
Well, that's true, but if you make an argument, like I said, what does this mean, then you're going to be held to it. And like I said, the Cars have songs that you might like that have a lot of what does this mean lyrics in it. So that can't be your only criteria. That's all I'm saying.
No, it's my criteria for this song.
Okay. All right. All right. We need to take a break. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. What song is this? I know this song.
It's ELO.
Ah, I like ELO. Phone number 866-901-ADAM. Gary Busey may be in here. Chuck Norris definitely will be in here. Ozzy is already in here. Ozzy?
Hi. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Oswaldo. He's got a Grammy review for us, although his cable was a little sporadic, so... Please bear with him. We'll have that. We'll have that in the next hour. We were talking music, spirited debates all day yesterday and now into today. Favorite songs, least favorite songs. I feel like there's a lot of crappy music being played on the radio. I don't think anyone is going to argue with me about that. I have strong opinions about it. I think there's a lot of bands out there that are good bands that don't get heard, and a lot of bands that are decent. Sometimes they're good, but they get heard a little too much. I'm willing to concede that, like, I think Phil Collins is a talented man. I would never take that away from him. I've heard way too many Phil Collins songs in my lifetime. But I don't want to say Phil Collins sucks. I just say I hear a little too much of the Phil Collins.
You ever bought a Genesis or Phil Collins album?
Never have I bought a Genesis or a Phil Collins album, although Genesis has some good songs and is a good band. And Phil Collins has a couple of good songs, but not nearly, I don't want to hear Groovy Kind of Love on the radio. I'm not angry at Phil Collins, just like I'm not angry at Huey Lewis. It's not really their fault. They just make music. It's the idiot program directors who decide to play the garbage to punish us. Those are the people I'm angry with. They could not play any of their songs. It'd be fine.
Yeah, I just don't understand, like, Mariah Carey. Who buys Phil Collins? Who buys these albums?
Rachel, but I got to tell you, I've learned this in life. Who's watching this NASCAR? Who's eating
my sister?
Yes, who's eating this pizza crust, a thick crust pizza with the cheese injected into the corners? Who's listening to reggae music while they're driving their car?
Me.
And that's my point. That's my point. Whenever I do the Who's game, somebody immediately pipes up. Who thinks Ashley Simpson is hotter than Jessica Simpson?
Well, that's me.
That's my point. So whenever I do that, immediately other people pipe up
and go,
I love NASCAR, I love Ashley Simpson, I love reggae music. Although, find me the guy that likes NASCAR and reggae. I want to hang with him. That guy's got range.
You know what's weird?
Yes.
There's people that don't agree with you.
I know. I know, and I feel sorry for them.
What is that about?
It's like the Lord is punishing them. Well, here's the thing that we try to decipher now. My mother doesn't agree with me on many things. And one time we were talking about, I was saying that The Simpsons, this is 10 years ago. I said, The Simpsons, I think, is the best written sitcom on TV. And she said, well, that's your opinion. You're just one person. Thanks, Ma. And quite a contrast to Dave Damashek's mother, by the way. But my mom explaining to me, trying to humble me, that's just your opinion. And by the way, here's my take. If you can be an aficionado on cigars or fine wines, why can't I be an expert in comedy if, in fact, it's what I get paid to do for a living? We understand this guy's a wine connoisseur. Well, what makes his palate? Well, he's an expert. How come you can't be a comedy expert? Well, when it comes to
you
comedy...
have a fine palate of comedy,
yes,
Adam.
Yes, fine, I will cleanse it now with some slapstick humor.
You should start speaking about things in the way that people talk about scotch and wine.
Well,
it's a nice finish.
We do recognize, yes, my that sitcom, that episode of Murphy Brown, or Family Guy, was assertive without being pushy.
I like when people say, though, you state something. I like The Simpsons a great deal. Well, I think it's the best show on TV. Well, that's just your opinion. Yeah, I know it's my opinion. By definition, if I'm saying I like something,
of course,
that's my opinion. Oh, no, that's not my opinion. That's Noam Chomsky's opinion.
Right.
Actually, I'm his
mouthpiece. Yeah. Assume every time I start a sentence with I, it's what Noam wants to do. If I say I have to go to the bathroom, assume Noam Chomsky has to go to the bathroom. But my point is why can't we be experts? Can anyone's opinion be more valid than others? And like I said, we're all comfortable with the notion of somebody who knows about fine wines or fine scotches or even fine art explaining to you which one is actually more valuable or whatever it is.
The technical term for someone who is like a comedy expert, you know how like there's the Scotch expert or wine people, they have their own
aficionado. Guffaw meets aficionado. That's what I
well
that's
done.
I, thank you. See, it's the amazing comedic mind that came up with that in real time. Now, the same mind that brought you the aficionado was arguing with my mother, saying Simpsons, 10 years ago. Simpsons, best written comedy on TV. Well, she said, well, that's just your opinion. I, for instance, I think she liked Murphy Brown. And she said, I like Murphy Brown, and you can't tell me that this is better because I feel that Murphy Brown is better, and you can't take that away from me. And I realized, now herein lies, this is where the problem lies. Yes, we need to have guidelines. Otherwise, you can just say, small wonder. Is it it's because I like Small Wonder, therefore it's better. I've canceled your vote out. I said to my mother, look, let's just talk about paintings. There are dogs playing poker, and then there's Monet. All right. You may like dogs playing poker better than Monet. That doesn't make it better. It makes you an a-hole. And that's what I want us to focus on. You may like the Jessica Simpson song. You may like the Small Wonders, the sitcom. You may like that. That makes you an idiot. That doesn't make your opinion valid. And that's why we're here to yell at you today. And that, of course, spills into music. So now, someone hates Mr. Roboto. Now we got a problem. Dominic?
Yeah.
Here's the thing about Mr. Roboto. I know it seems like I'm all over the map with my what songs suck criteria. That is a ridiculous song, but it's novel now. It's fallen into the novel. It's like watching an episode of Knight Rider. Of course it's a bad show. That's what's so good about it. The fact that they took themselves very seriously in, 1984 when they crapped this out or whenever it was, that's what makes it so great. You gotta have a sense of humor about it.
I guess, but still, it's just bad. I mean,
I don't know. I don't know. It's bad. Yes.
Does it have a listing on the hobo meter?
The stinko meter? To me, it's a mild between 9 and 13 range.
Styx is like a Patrick Swayze action movie from
the
80s.
Yes. Also, I always think of Matt Silverstein from Drawn Together and Cousin Sal covering themselves with foil and doing the Mr. Roboto dance in the Man Show office. Once every Friday, they would do the Mr. Roboto dance. Sorry, Dominic. I'm going to put you on hold. All right. We have arguments. We have debates. We have things we never get to. We got Ozzy here. We got Gary Busey. We got Chuck Norris.
Some show today.
Yes, it's so bad, it's good, you understand?
Yeah. The show or the song?
Irony.
Everything.
Irony will add a couple of... You need to come up with some sort of a rating system, Adam, because I'm completely confused.
I don't want to see... Here's my point.
I need a list. I need a manual.
I don't want to see Caroline in the City, because that's just a bad sitcom. But I do want to see Knight Rider, because it's so bad, it transcends it. Yes?
Yes.
It's campy at this point. It's Brain IBM. The song, just BM. All right. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now. 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. Now that's something I can get into. I don't like the reggae beat, but I like the ska beat. Sucker for all the horns. Missed that sort of early No Doubt stuff and all that...
You like those rusty trombones and stuff?
I like the rusty trombone. I like the Dirty Sanchez. I like it all. Hold on. Yeah, I think I lost focus for a second. Lost focus. Rachel Perry's over there. She's back from Fashion Week in New York City. How say you, Rachel Perry?
Oh, I say L.A.
You're glad to be back?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, I love it here.
Oh, good. There's a lot of people that... live in New York or who relocate to New York and just say, well, they just couldn't live in any other place. And to me, it's exactly the opposite. New York is it's an amusement park. It's a theme park. It's fun for a few days, but living that way day in and day out, no backyard. You know what I mean? No place to move around. Just sort of, oh, but the excitement. Oh, man, the energy. Yeah, that's good for a long weekend, but it's your daily life. You don't want that, do you? I mean, out of living, don't you kind of want, like, well, I'm going to take my dog for a walk and just quietly take for a little walk up in the canyon here, whatever. And then on the weekend, if I want to go to a party and whoop it up, I'll go to a party and whoop it up. But I don't want to hear sirens going down the street at 4:30 in the morning. That's not what I'm looking for out of living. That's just a fun weekend.
It's a young people's game.
Yeah,
New York is great if you're in your 20s.
People go on about the culture in New York. Wait, you mean the shopping. It's so such a great culture.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it is, like I said.
Well, I think they're actually talking about the museums, but not the shopping. But
She's making fun of them, and I'm with her on that. All right, so much to get to.
There's museums here, too.
Oswaldo. There's one up the street. Oswaldo's going to do his Grammys review. We've been talking about music. We're so passionate about it. We never get to anything. We had an argument yesterday. I argue there's a lot of good bands out there. I don't think anyone would argue with me about this, that don't get played, ones that get played too much. A band I really don't like is Red Hot Chili Peppers. I don't mind them. I don't think they're talentless. I just don't think they're very tight. I don't think they're very talented musically. And they're a lot of energy, a lot of attitude. I think people like them when they're drunk and in high school, but I don't think they hold up that well. I brought up Toad the Wet Sprocket, which nobody seems to know and no one seems to like. And the good thing about bands is if you don't know them, you don't like them.
I know them. I don't like them. That's my point.
You've heard a couple of their songs on the radio.
I've heard full records. Yeah.
All right. All right. So I argue that... better band. That's what I say.
Now, let me just say, at the outset, I, too, do not think the Red Hot Chili Peppers are one of the all-time great bands.
Mm-hmm.
All my assertion is that they are much better than Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Definitely more popular. And the songs you're about to hear, you're going to hear the Red Hot Chili Peppers ones are going to be more familiar, so they're going to resonate. But I say if you can stand back and just get outside yourself for a second, I think musically, I think you'll find...
All right, let's hear some.
Toad the Wet Sprocket is better composed music. All right, you want to hear some Red Hot Chili Peppers first?
We should.
I think we all know.
All right.
What do you got?
Yo, you're going to pick the worst song. Go.
I'm not picking any songs. These are all songs Damashek.
Again.
All right, keep it going. Yeah, turn it up. See, I think this is kind of crude.
Lyrically, or you mean the sound?
Well, I haven't heard any lyrics yet.
That's true.
I just think it's a little rough around the edges. A lot of energy. But I wouldn't sit around and listen to it.
I don't think it's good.
Hard rock and grounded and, you know, inspired by funk. It's the white man. It's the white man's take on hard rock and funk music. But it's, you know.
Again, I think the energy's good. I just don't think it's good. I don't think it's good music.
This is Kiedis doing his semi-rap sort of thing. The best Chili Pepper songs have him sort of, rapping rather than trying to.
All right. Let's hear. Now, I could do. I'm not sure if I should do a song that Toad people know so they can get acclimated or just go into a song that maybe they don't know.
When they make the movie about the Red Hot Chili Peppers, though, I think that Will Ferrell should play Chad the drummer. Yeah. They are doppelgangers.
Yes. All right. How about, let's just do, let's give me five. Can you give me cut number five here from
Toad the Wet Sprocket starts on a negative just because their name is so stupid.
Yeah, but they're like Smuckers. You got to be good. All right, now everyone just sort of quiet your mind. Turn up your hands and listen for a second.
Another day.
That it's even. I feel like you're comparing apples and oranges if you're doing Red Hot Chili Peppers to Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Oranges and tangerines, maybe.
Apples and like kiwi fruits.
I'm sure, Ace, that you and the other girls at the sorority house love this. Love to listen to this music when you're getting ready to go out and chase boys.
Well, listen, you're in the deaf frat guy who can only feel the vibration, by the way, from the bass.
What's the famous song that they had?
That would be, they have a few that you probably know, but that would be cut six if you want to go down that road.
I would like to go down the road. I want the memory.
Mm-hmm. Here it is.
Painful as it may be. Oh, yeah. All right.
All I Want is probably a more popular song, too. But I didn't bring it in.
This is sort of non-offensive rock.
Yeah. No, I think you're selling them short. I think they're accomplished musicians.
I don't think they're atrocious. Again, back to my original assertion, the Chili Peppers are far better than this band is.
Far better, no. Far different. This is, different. I would never buy this. I mean, it's not, I don't hate it or anything. I could say I like it, but...
Yeah, I just think they're better musicians, that's all.
Ryan Cabrera is also inoffensive. It's just...
Yeah, I know. It doesn't make you want to F or fight. I know what you're saying. Are you going to play another Red Hot Chili Peppers song?
Yeah, give me the next one.
Give me the next one.
Did you even listen to By the Way? Album, by the way.
No.
See, I can get you that album.
Give me that album.
I will.
Now understand, the best Chili Peppers music, I don't even think you're ready for it. I don't think you could handle it.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually their late 80s record, Freaky Styley, produced by George Clinton of Parliament.
Yes.
That's a great record.
With that.
Didn't have access to that. However, this still is the hard rock and, again, inspired by the funk sound. A little bit of rapping with Kiedis in here. This is his best one. Let's try another one here.
All right. It just sounds crude to me.
Crude, you say?
Crude. Yeah.
Not this, however.
Like you could learn to do it in about 6 months if you had the right guys.
Oh, I see.
I don't mean crude in its kind.
That, as a matter of fact, I think that's a funny point because I think that sitting with an acoustic guitar and strumming pleasantly, I think you could pick up Toad the Wet Sprocket more quickly.
No.
The little girl from Sweden dream of silver screen quotation. And if you want these kind of dreams, it's California.
This isn't
California
the song.
Yeah, not it?
One more. Oh, do you not have Breaking the Girl?
No, I like Breaking the Girl. I like that song. I think that's my favorite Red Hot Chili Peppers song.
Is that right?
This is what happens when you try to get stuff in there. I had the Dave try to download it right now, and he has the CD, so I'm sorry, Damashek. I'm trying to get it for you. So
it's fine. Go do me a favor. Just go pick up that record at the record store. Get another Toad the Wet Sprocket, and Ace would like you to stop off at the drugstore and get him a douche. If you like.
Yes. Yes, so I can cleanse. I will spray my ear and cleanse my mind of this exchange. How dare you, good sir. I bid you good day. Right, let me hear number four, if we could, while we do our other conversations here. Ooh, hates when doves cry. That one already? All right, play this one. You know this song?
I know, yeah, I've heard these songs.
I know it's not cool enough for you and your hipsters.
This guy is like a scratchy, overextended vocal away from a car commercial.
Wow, Rachel.
Come on.
Rachel and I on the same page.
Yeah, I know. You think your hipster friends are listening, so you can't let your defense down.
I wouldn't.
Well, we've already established you listen to reggae in your car.
Oldsmobile! Buy a Tempo K car today, America.
Wow, someone's being very defensive. I wonder if methinks now protests too much. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. We have some news. We have some sports. We theoretically have Gary Busey. We for sure have the punctual Chuck Norris.
U.S. SUVs.
Just
Chevrolet.
Just think they're better musicians, that's all.
Boring.
Well, Do you have to jump around every time you turn a song on a CD?
You know, it's got to make me feel something.
Really?
Aerostar.
This makes me feel nothing.
Seating for you and the kids.
They're not it. They're not
coolest
connecting.
Soccer mom in town.
All right. Well, I just can't believe we're disagreeing on something, Rachel. I'm gonna have to recalibrate my compass because everything I know now is turned upside down. We will take ourselves a break. We will have news. We'll have sports. We will have Ozzy. All that. Chuck Norris. After that.
This is Def Mackay. Give Adam a call now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
I'll punch that number one more time just to make sure it's clear. 866-901-ADAM. Doing our post-Grammy show. Did our pre-Grammy show. Still got all the songs we love and hate. We got those to play from our cast and crew here. At a certain point, we just got to get to the news and we got to get to the sports. And I think this is that time. So, Rachel Perry, how say you?
I say news.
Yes. You can hit the music when I get the how say you.
I like to speak in music. A suicide bomb during a, how do you say that? Shite?
Yemen.
Shiite procession in Pakistan killed 22 people. The Taliban says 100 people have signed up to be suicide bombers as part of the protests over the blasphemous cartoons printed in European papers. They're currently offering 100 kilograms of gold to the person that kills the cartoonist, which is apparently equal to almost $2 million, and 5 kilograms of gold to anyone who kills a Danish, German, or Norwegian soldier.
It's a bad sign that they're still trading in precious metal. They haven't worked their way up to paper or plastic like we have, and no dollar bills, no plastic anymore. We'll throw in a few goats and my daughter if you kill this guy. Fantastic. What year are we in? What year is it?
I think they plan on when the world. Don't you ever think about that though? When the world comes crumbling down, wish I had some gold.
Yeah, that's why I've invested in chicken bouillon. It's a little twist. It's a twist, but you're going to need to eat when the world. People are going to need broth, and then you're not going to be laughing so hard when you're begging for broth.
True.
Hold on one second. I think Gary Busey's on the phone. Gary.
Hello.
Gary.
Adam, sorry I ran late, buddy.
All right, where are you now?
He's in a tunnel.
I'm just calling into an Arco.
Double A? Oh, wait. Yeah.
Pulling out of an Arco, excuse me.
All right.
But I'm on my way, and I just want to say, if you have anything to drink or anything, that there, my throat is...
Wait a second, that's not Gary Busey. You think that's Gary Busey?
Mike August called, that's his cell phone.
Really? That doesn't that's sound like Gary Busey.
No, I think that's August, right?
Was it Mike?
Hey,
Mike?
God damn it.
Oh,
hey,
well, maybe. Wait a minute. Maybe it is Gary Busey.
That's who I am.
Prove to me you're Gary Busey.
Prove to me I'm Gary Busey. I played Buddy Holly.
What?
You idiots.
What kind of car did you drive in Gumball Rally?
Was it Pontiac?
No.
They cut a lot of that stuff. It was a Pontiac for the first few months.
Okay. All right. Yes. I'm with you.
Sounds a lot more on the ball than I thought.
I'm with you. All right, Gary. So when are you coming in?
I will be in there in approximately two minutes, I guess. We're walking
right now. Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, buddy. We'll see you soon.
All right.
That was the worst Gary Busey impression. You can't articulate yourself that well if you're going to do a Gary Busey impression.
Well, what was that?
I don't know.
Well, he called on August's cell phone number.
I think it was August, to be honest.
Pretending to be Gary Busey.
First off, August can't even do an effective Mike August. He doesn't even play himself well. I don't think he has that kind of range.
Yeah, that was strange.
Okay, but why? Here's my other question.
Why
do we need to chime in? Like, all I'm saying is if Chuck Norris is 2 minutes away from the studio, do we need to talk to him, or can he just come in and talk when he gets here? I don't know. All right. Let's keep rolling.
All right.
The fact that he drove a Camaro in the Gumball Rally, but here's the interesting point. The Camaro and the Pontiac Firebird were almost the same car. So he said a Pontiac. All right. And
this mystery will be solved very soon.
The fact that he kept saying GD made me think it was probably him. All right. Well, we'll solve it soon. Or maybe we won't. That's the interesting thing about Gary Busey. He may come in here and we may never get to the bottom of it. But continue, Rachel Perry, with the news.
Of course, the Grammys aired 48th annual Grammy Awards last night. You two were the big winners. They were nominated for 5 awards and they won in every category.
Mm-hmm.
They took home their 5 golden gramophones, including Album and Song of the Year, after performing an amazing rendition of One with Mary J. Blige, who that woman, every time I've seen her perform, she just feels it.
She sells it in her soul,
in her bones.
She brings it home.
Madonna opened the show in a revolutionary performance with the Gorillaz. Green Day won the Record of the Year Award for Boulevard of Broken Dreams. Kanye, Mariah, John Legend, all nominated for 8 awards, all won 3 awards. John Legend, Best New Artist. Kanye won the Best Rap Album. Bizarrely, Maroon 5 won a Grammy for a song that was on an album that came out 4 years ago. And of course, Kelly Clarkson, very excited to have won the Best Female Pop Vocal Performance for Since You've Been Gone, and here she is, and she couldn't stop crying.
Oh God. Yeah, I'm terrible at speaking when I cry, so sorry. Thank you so much.
It'd be nice.
Poor girl.
Thank you to everybody.
What's so confusing?
We're looking. I'm sorry. We're looking at Gary.
Thank you to my date, Ashley Donovan. Maybe my producer,
what isn't Gary Busey? The fake Gary Busey.
Thank you so much, Mom.
Busey Mania is in the next room.
But
the world's greatest booker, Mike August, who again, I would argue, nobody books from within the building, Mike August does.
It's clearly not actually Gary Busey. It's an impersonator, but don't tell August. He doesn't know the difference.
Okay, now things are starting to come into focus.
This is interesting.
All right, so, okay, well, we'll just keep going on here, but be prepared to hand Mike August his walking papers. Actually, he's running. That should be his jogging papers. You shouldn't casually or leisurely leave the building. You should sprint. I'm going to kill you. let's heighten it from walking papers to jogging papers.
I see.
Trotting.
Ooh.
Trotting at best. Okay, so we'll get to the bottom of this. Keep going. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say there was one final award that everybody won last night when Terry Hatcher wore a see-through dress.
Mm.
And
what isn't she at? Do you know what I mean?
But she was funny last night.
My wife was bitching about her, and I say, well, please, we're not done with Eva Longoria. We can't even begin. But the people that announce, like I realize whenever you see these interviews, well, what's your idea of a good time, Eva Longoria or Terry Hatcher? You know what? I'm a homebody. You know what I like doing on a Friday night? Like renting a movie, popping some corn, putting my slippers on. Really? How come you're at everything? How come there's no event that happens? You cannot cut the ribbon on a Home Depot in El Monte without you showing up. How is that work that you're such a homebody? I know homebodies. I'm a homebody. I stay home. That's how I prove it every weekend. Hours of TiVo, jugs of red wine, mountains of popcorn. That's all I do. But here's all I'm saying. Just say, I love a photo op. I'll do anything. I'm essentially a prostitute, or my publicist has forced me to do this. Don't do that. I love my idea of an ideal night? Cup of a warm postum, a nice movie, a nice book, and a rainstorm so I can sit outside and cuddle up by the fire. You're out at everything. I've seen more Terry Hatcher in the last 6 months than I've seen in the 60 years prior to that. Every event, every award show, everything. I'm just saying, fine, but don't work the homebody angle all the time.
Okay. I'm Rachel Perry. That's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
NBA last night, the L.A. Kobe's back on track after their little swoon. They beat the Rockets in Houston. Suns won at home. However, the Clips, Golden State, Portland, and Seattle all on the road last night. All losers. Hey, it's time to start getting excited for the Olympics. They start tomorrow over in Torino, Italy. Yeah. Even Pat O'Brien and his pals at the Insider are getting into the spirit of things.
Really?
They just sat down with America's most beloved star of Winter Olympics past, young lady named Tanya Harding. And, there's still some people who maybe don't care for her, you know, what with the kneecapping of Nancy Kerrigan and, you know, the hitting of her fella with a hubcap right in his puss. But I think she straightens it out on what she's all about right here.
What is a lady supposed to be? The one who sits there and drinks tea like this every single day?
Yes. Yes, that's it, because those are the two options. Either a woman who drinks tea all day with her pinky up, or you, Tanya. Those are the two.
There's no
in between.
No, it's number one and number two. There's no one and a half. You're right next door. Yes, you either have the pinky extended when you drink the tea, or you hit your man with a rolling pin. Which, by the way, I miss.
So choose. Yes. You want the tea with the pinky, or do you want to get clubbed with
the rolling pin?
A foreign object. Six and a half months away, roughly. I don't have the exact days. 6.5 months until the NFL season gets started.
Time for Steelers.
The Super Bowl odds are out. Colts. They lead the pack 4-1 odds that they're going to win it all. Pats and Seahawks 5-1. The Carolina Panthers. And I think they're the reigning world champion, Pittsburgh Steelers, opening at 6-1. So that's something to look forward to. Yeah. NHL, well, Ducks and Kings.
Keep covering that. Let's focus on that.
I shall.
I'm not talking about daily. I'm talking about hourly.
Absolutely. Right. Done and done, sir. Mm-hmm. NHL, Ducks and Kings both lose. Sharks win. Sure, you've heard about the big gambling scandal in the NHL. Phoenix Coyotes assistant Rick Tocchet allegedly has been bankrolling an illegal gambling ring the last couple of years. The whole story, he's in trouble. But the most interesting part about it is the police say that Wayne Gretzky's wife, the greatest ambassador of the sports Gretzky. Ever.
How do you hate Gretzky? I know you love Lemieux, but do you have to hate Gretzky?
Because he can't go, he has to put little digs into 66 Lemieux.
He does.
That's right. And by the way, I resent him for nothing else than because he is, people say, he's the greatest player in the sports history. Incorrect. I know for certain that is not accurate. Listen, Gretzky's wife. Let me show you what a Nancy this guy is. He's his wife, not his best friend. It's not enough that his best friend Rick Tocchet's in trouble, but his own wife is being implicated in this thing. Here's how he's handling it when asked about it.
You know, any time that there's a spouse involved, that's what people are going to think. But she's her own person, and, you know, I think that had I been involved, I would have got a phone call. I'm pretty hard to hide.
Hey, stealing a page from W there, first of all.
Yeah.
But by the way, listen, your wife's in trouble, Wayne. But Wayne, what's Wayne's response? Like, I had nothing to do with it. No, yeah. No stink on me. I mean, I don't know what she's up to.
Well,
talk to her about it.
No, Sir Walter Raleigh, I'll tell you that right now.
What a creep. That's right.
I don't even know. Wayne Gretzky's called the great one. That's all I know about him. I really don't know.
Well, now you know a little bit more about him.
All right.
His wife is more fun than he is. She's out gambling, making booking, you know,
yeah.
throwing a couple C notes on a football game. He's like, I didn't have anything to do with it. You would know about it.
Yeah.
Oh, creep.
To me, gambling is one of those crimes I actually respect you more for.
That's right.
It's sort of like, you know, getting out of a speeding ticket or something, or it's a little F you to the man, and I like it.
Right.
I like gamblers.
If I'm not mistaken, this makes her way hotter than she already was. Out gambling.
That's right. We got something to do now.
Yeah, I think you and Wayne, I think you and the great one should go listen to some Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Yes. Well, maybe we'll talk a little smack about Lemieux. 66, 99. What the hell is this? Gretzky's 99 and Lemieux 66?
That's right.
The inverse.
That's right.
Interesting. All right, we have a song about Dave here. Is this from Rich from Arizona?
Yep.
Yeah, we got a custom Dave song. I think Pittsburgh may be brought up into it. Ooh, playing my Elvis song.
Has a poster of the Steelers on the ceiling and every night. He masturbates to it.
So?
Cause he's a Pittsburgh fan. Iron City man. He's got a tape of the Super Bowl. Some lube and a terrible town. That's the perfect plan for a Pittsburgh fan.
Now here's where he changes gears. Oh, he didn't change it. Wow, did he?
Short and sweet.
Here's another little song that you might care for.
We're from the
Super Bowl team. We love you, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, I'll tell you. I was just home thinking, how much more Steeler talk? How long can this carry on? And then I realized it should go on forever.
Thank you.
And again, with preseason just a short 6 months away, 6.5 months away.
Sometime.
And, of course, the combine's coming out.
As breaking news develops, I will be here to update you.
Fantastic.
Steeler machinery humming.
All right, well, take a break. I don't know what the hell's going on with our fake Gary Busey in there. We're going to sort some things out. I would say we should hear Ozzy's review. And also, I would like to start getting some favorite songs. So, Rachel, get your favorite song and least favorite song queued up. I want to hear
it.
What that is with Ozzy's Grammy report and all that after this.
Yeah, man, you are listening to the Adams Carolla Show. Call Adams now at 866-901. Adam, yeah, man.
Yeah, there's a guy who likes some reggae. I'll tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to punish the reggae lovers with ranchero music, see how they like it for a change. Using, you know, Pat Benatar uses sex as a weapon. I use ranchero music as a weapon. That'll get Al-Qaeda out of the cave. Start pumping at it. Okay, they'll come running. Ears bleeding.
They definitely would run because there's nothing the Muslims love more, the Muslim extremists, than good music.
Well, I would say a good laugh and maybe a fine scotch might be the only two things higher up. Yeah. Can't judge. Cannot judge.
And they love the NCAA tournament, too.
They're turning
nuts.
They
love their office pools are going to go wild in the month.
Again, my belief,
I guess
all music is the same, all religion is the same, all cultures are the same. None better, none worse, just different, but all the same at the same time. And again, I cannot judge or profile. All right. Now, we have a facsimile of Gary Busey in the green room. We'll bring him in. Ozzy is Ozzy. Say facsimile, please.
Facsimile.
Ooh,
pretty good.
Ooh, nice. Yeah. Oswaldo is going to do his Grammy report. Also, we talked to Rachel Perry about her favorite and least favorite songs. As you know, that's been a theme over the last few days. So let's do that first. Hit us. Are you ready, by the way, Mike? You got to throw something in. Why don't you give us a little build up on your favorite, and then we'll get to least favorite.
Well, you know, I didn't know. I wasn't in here for the discussion of why we were doing all this. And then, you know, we heard about it yesterday, and I don't know. I love this song. This is my. Yeah,
I
could have chosen.
Need an apology. Tell us why you love it.
I could have chosen. I could have chosen many, many songs, but I think this one stood out as in the. I don't know. I'm a big Misfits fan, and I love this song by Glenn Danzig. It is a little ditty called "Mother."
Danzig.
Yes. This makes me feel good.
Could have given me 1,000 years and 1,000,000 iPods, and I would have never come up with Danzig as anybody's top anything.
But
I'm hip to Danzig.
The Misfits, solid. I don't know about once Danzig broke off on his own.
Oh, no.
Slow.
This is an excellent song. His voice. Like an angel from hell.
Wow. Favorite song of Listen, I'm with you. It's not Stairway to Heaven.
Going.
I like that.
He's going. You can feel it. Makes you feel something.
Richard Perry, a headbanger. Tatted on the back of a hog.
Well, I'm a big fan of
Wow.
You know. Music that sounds good, feels good, says something, is,
Well, this says, I have a GED and I'm drunk.
And that's the message that I like to give out.
All right. It's energy. All right, let's hear.
And there's, like, a small irony factor with this song. I mean, it's...
He's a small man
with an angry complex, and I like him.
Yeah, he's not even that small. He's kind of...
I think he's short, though.
No, he is. He's like 5'2".
And from what I hear, he doesn't like you to look him in the eye. He's
well,
one of those.
Well, I know him from having him on Loveline on many occasions, and yes, he is a little bit short in stature, but he's a stocky man, and he's not midget short. He's just a little on the short side. But he's one of these guys that's a rough exterior, but then you get to know him. Seems pretty cool. Okay, what's the least favorite song now?
Well, I don't know. I don't like to keep track of my... You know, I thought after, I'm like, man, I should have chosen almost anything by Limp Bizkit or Train.
Yes.
But this song, just recently, I mean, it's been all over the top of the charts, and it drives me insane.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't fucking stand this song.
What song is this?
It's,
Soldiers, let's go.
Don't ya? Any song that uses, like, short, like a... I don't know. All the Pussycat song, Dolls song titles are, like, Stick With You. Like, songs you can't pronounce.
Who is this?
Well, it's Busta Rhymes and the Pussycat Dolls. Busta Rhymes I love. But this whole, like, Don't You Wish Your Girlfriend Was Hot Like Me?
Yeah.
Just irritates the crap out of me. I just hate that song lyric, and then it's just really irritating.
Yeah, I find it annoying too, but for some reason that particular song just obnoxious enough to work for me. I mean, I would never buy it or listen to it, but it's just bad enough. It's like a, I don't know, it's like a bad used car jingle or something that just got under my skin. Maybe it was the Grammy. Maybe it was the parody on the Golden Globes or whatever it was.
I just hate watching people sing this, like, they're singing it. It's obnoxious.
I agree, and it speaks to a bigger point, which is, I don't know what the hell kind of message we're sending everybody. This is your world. I hear that in a lot of advertising campaigns. This is your world. This is your world. Let me tell you what This Is Your World gets you. It gets you a lot of... screw those folks down in New Orleans. It's my world. I'm not giving them any money. I'm going to throw garbage out the window. I don't like that message. And don't you wish you were hot and you wish you were like there was a time when I think you taught your kids to be sort of gracious winners, not scream at people after you won the Super Bowl. That was one of my favorite parts of the Super Bowl. After poor Jeremy Stevens, who ran his mouth marginally before the game, sort of dropped the last pass of the game and was laying there vanquished on the floor of the Detroit Stadium. Instead of the Pittsburgh Steelers celebrating the victory, they had to go over there and yell at him for a while. And then it was time to go celebrate. Really? This is what society's come to? You've just won the Super Bowl. You have to yell at the guy that lost for a good... Hey, let's finish this. We got to yell at him for a while, and then we'll be up to hoist the Lombardi Trophy. And then we'll do that thing where nobody else believed except for the people in this locker room. It's really... Society's getting obnoxious. And songs like this... considering it's nothing but, I would guess, 11 and 12-year-old girls and then older people that had certain degrees of brain trauma that are enjoying this, it's sending a kind of a crappy message. Most rap music, I don't want to sound like Pops Carolla here.
It's not the rap thing, it's just the...
No, it's not the rap. It's not the fact that he's rapping, but having guys pull up in Bentleys with triple chrome 24-inch rims and certain light cigars with $100 bills is probably, again, not a great message for the 12 and 13-year-olds coming up either.
Yeah, but that's all going to, like, give that another 10 years, and it's all going to look like the hair metal of the 80s.
Oh,
like,
I'm sure it'll be laughed at, but...
But there's still some good stuff.
I'm saying we're getting a little obnoxious as a society. I miss that day when the dad yelled at his son, listen, you go over there and shake his hand after the game. You won, but you be generous in victory, please. How would you like it if you, how would you feel if you just lost the big game? Go shake his hand and tell him, don't stand over him and yell at him. That's all. And then we're getting obnoxious. I'm going to Canada. I'm going to move into your house. I feel it's a better society. I'd like to raise my children there.
Okay. Okay. You can ask my mom.
All right. We,
or you could live with my dad.
I would like to. Man open for the Who. I'm sure he has many a tale to tell.
We're not. Yeah. That has yet to be confirmed.
Well, it's in my heart.
Okay.
It's confirmed. All right. Now we need to take another break. Oswaldo here, as he's been since 5:30 this morning. Carb loading. We will get his review of the Grammys after this.
This is Ron White. Call Adam Carolla now. I said now. At 1-866-901-ADAM or Adam.
Yeah. Love this Space Hog song, by the way. Kicks in. It's like 6 minutes long. It's epic. This song everyone sort of forgot about, but every time you bring it up, everyone goes, oh, yeah, I like that song. Space Hog, 866-901-ADAM. Gary Busey. It's hard to tell if this is the real Gary Busey or not. It looks like if Gary Busey. Yeah, sorry,
thank
Gary.
You. Where are those people? Clapping. Thank you. Look, if somebody changes their appearance slightly, I added beautiful golden locks to mine with extensions. And all of a sudden, I'm not me anymore, so...
I haven't seen Gary for a little while, so it's
well,
tough.
Well, after you had that terrible accident, it's a lot of work done, you know.
So I don't know anything about that.
So he doesn't remember the motorcycle accident. I like when Gary Busey... It makes me think maybe it isn't the real Gary Busey, because the real Gary Busey will tell you he's been clinically dead 127 times within the first 3 minutes he's in the room. I was clinically dead. Just say dead.
I think he's distracted by Mr.
I've had a lot of adventures. I've had a lot of adventures. Many of them I don't remember.
You know, though, they always say celebrities look different, you know, when you see them in person.
Yeah.
So he looks a little... I'm not sure. I can't tell.
You know what I'm sure of? I'm sure you're a nice little piece of pooper. Look at these taters on her. Thank you for sitting me by her.
Done and done.
What is your name, dear?
So uncomfortable.
Gary does like the ladies. I will give that.
Are you kidding me?
This is reproduction. More uncomfortable than the real Gary Busey in studio.
Ladies first, Jesus too.
That's right.
Promise Keepers of America, reproduction, dear. I'll meet you in the bathroom.
That's right. That's right. He likes the Bible.
Stop talking to Dave Damashek like that.
Dave Damashek, what?
All right, quiet down. Settle in now. What's going on? Mike August?
I seem to have been summoned to the studio. Is there a problem, Adam?
No. Now it's time to leave. Do not leave without stopping by my office, though, and shut the door before you come in. I want you to shut the door on yourself. Actually, slam it. Put your foot in it. Okay, Oswaldo. The great Oswaldo is here. Oswaldo, you a fan of Gary Busey?
Yeah, I see a couple of times.
You see? Did you see Lethal Weapon?
That.
Oswaldo? No.
No?
No.
Okay. Well, Chuck Norris, the great Chuck Norris, or Chaz Norris, as Dave Damashek knows him, is actually in the green room. We'll bring him in a second.
Full house.
We've been talking music, and we've been talking Grammys, and so we had Ozzy do a little Grammy report. We whipped up a special, and we spare no expense at this show, whipped up a special intro song, custom, just for the Grammys. Let's hear that and lead us into your report, Ozzy.
Oswaldo, tell us about some
Grammys.
We want to know if
Grammys
you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo, tell us.
Mike, put my good CD in, too, would you please? Because I got some background. I got some underneath music for Oswaldo. Go ahead, Ozzy.
Yeah, good morning. Today I'm reviewing the performance from last night, the 48th Annual Grammy Award.
The Annual Grammy Award. 48th Annual Grammy Awards.
Yep.
Yes.
Unfortunately, my cable keep going on.
Mm-hmm.
I did get to see all of it.
Your cable's bad because the splitter you ran under the floorboard that connects it into the elderly woman's apartment next to yours was on the fritz. She got her stroke cane caught in it, and it jumbled up his reception. Tough news, yeah.
The first performance was the anime parody and Spectacular Madonna.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Whoa. Yeah, now that's not fair.
Slow down, Pancho. Wait, let's just back it over the border and try to figure this one out for a second. Yeah, Gary, you have a question?
Yeah, I was just going to say, your resemblance is uncanny to my buddy JoJo Stormcloud, who's the chief of the Yuggas Island.
Oh, wait a minute, maybe it is Gary Busey.
And you brought back a memory. I was in a parking lot, and we were there, and God, if you don't look just like him, and you pick your nose just like him too, we had a whole thing, and we were smoking rubber and eating lizards. And
well, maybe it is Gary.
And it was uncanny. You bring back homosexual feelings. That's all I wanted to say. And the Promise Keepers too. If we can get to that album.
No, I know part of the retarded spirituality mixed with the copious drug use is one of my favorite celebrity traits.
I've done a lot of drugs.
Okay.
I used to snort acorn nuts with gelatin packets.
Wow!
When I grew up in Moose Creek.
That's Moose Creek. Maybe. Yeah. I know. I happen to know Gary Busey is from Moose Creek.
Moose Creek, Oklahoma.
Wow.
And then I got into all the normal stuff: marijuana, cocaine, horse tranquilizers.
Right.
And then I went into surfboard foam.
Oh, you start actually ingesting that.
Well, it's hard to get it. That's the whole thing.
Okay, right.
You know, you have to know somebody with a surfboard foam factory.
Right.
And I used to. Now I don't. I can't get it. So.
All right. It's scary. I don't know. The jury's still out.
He gets more and more Gary all the time.
He does.
Oh, can you see that, dear?
All right.
Thank you.
Let's continue with us. Waldo, I decided it'd be nice to have one of my top 10 all-time songs underneath us. Waldo's movie review, or I should say Grammy review. It's a classical song from the Nutcracker Suite. Beautiful classical song. And what's wrong with... Remember this one?
It's going to be beautiful. Set underneath Ozzy's dulcet tones.
Yeah. You hipsters snub your nose at classical, but some of the greatest music ever composed.
Who are you talking to?
And I would argue, if you're a movie fan... even a television fan helps some of the greatest moments have had the classical behind it. But this is, I think, Tchaikovsky in his amazing piece of work. Starts kicking in. I think you kind of remember it from, I don't know, was it Fantasia? It was a Disney movie this was in.
Sounds right.
Ozzy, is this one of your songs? I know it's,
Yeah, they play with the dolphin.
To play with the dolphin?
Yeah, the sea, you know?
No, I think it's when the hippos were dancing.
Well.
Yeah, remember this one?
Ozzy's painting a picture, though. He's being transported to the sea, swimming with the fish.
You know, Ozzy, I hope you take this in the spirit in which it's intended, but if your folks would go a little lighter on the Ranchero and a little more on the Tchaikovsky, maybe we could get that space program off the ground. You know what I mean?
You make it evolve, huh?
Yeah, because when you hear that Ranchero, it's hard not to crack a bud. Whereas this is more, you know, this is now it's time to take the pencil and get the protractor out.
You get the nitrous.
Yeah. Here it is.
The film performance was the anime parody. And in particular, Madonna, I thought was really good. I like the animation.
Oh, Madonna.
Madonna, yes. Madonna. That was good with the gorillas, yeah.
The film presentation was Alicia Keys and Stevie Wonder.
Uh-huh.
They
Alicia Keys and Stevie Wonder, yeah.
Yeah, they gave the respect to Loretta King.
Loretta King.
Loretta King, you know, the wife.
Oh, Scott King, yeah, right.
And sang a song for her. Stevie Wonder also played the harmonica.
He played the harmonica, yeah.
A very special moment remembering Loretta King.
Yeah, I think there was a spot. That was a moving tribute. He did stumble on the teleprompter at one point, but he picked right back up.
I thought that was nice, but I thought it was to Coretta Scott King was the tribute, no? Was
no.
Loretta King.
Ozzy, no, I thought Ozzy said the king of bedspreads. All right. Keep going, Ozzy. You're going to have to finish when the song climaxes in about 4 minutes. So let's
another performance that I saw was Kelly Clarkson.
Mm-hmm.
She was also very good. Mm-hmm. She sang a slow song that was very emotional, and she sang from the hair.
From the hair.
Yes.
Every great performer, that's where it comes from, the hair.
No.
Not the cabeza.
She sank.
Not the brain, but it comes from the hair.
No, the feet.
And not the feet either. No. That's right. From the hair.
This one's from the hair. Right.
Yeah.
It's nice.
That's right. That's where Cupid would shoot you with his arrow, right?
I think that Gary Busey's hair once stopped for like 5-10 minutes once.
What did you say to me, small friend?
He was clinically dead when his hair stopped. They had to hit it with the paddles.
Excuse me, sir?
All right, do not attack.
Look, I've taken out women, says you. I'll put you under a table and put a corkscrew where you don't belong.
All right, keep going. No, that's not your hair.
Is that in my head or did that happen? What was that? Mommy?
Keep rolling, Ozzy. I can only imagine what's going through
his mind.
Paul McCartney.
He sang a song along that was very good, and indeed he sang with Jay-Z and Linkin Park. During the song, you remember the good time we had with the Beatles.
Linkin Park's where Ozzy got his fake ID, by the way. So he sung with Jay-Z and Linkin Park.
Yeah.
Okay.
My favorite performance was the tribute to Sly and the Family Stone.
Sly and the Family Stone.
John Legend, Josh Stone, Maroon 5.
John Legend?
Josh Stone. Who was the first one?
John Legend.
John Legend.
No, Legend. John Legend. That's right. Yeah, okay.
Josh Stone,
right.
Maroon 5.
Maroon
5. Ciara, Aerosmith, and many more.
Ciara,
Aerosmith.
Okay.
And many more sang Sly and the Family Stone song, mm-hmm. And Sly coming out in rather, appearance.
Why this is so surreal?
You know, yes. The Grammys, mm-hmm. Let this review call.
Oh, no. All right, here's the crescendo. Turn it up. Let's enjoy some Tchaikovsky here. You can hear this pumping from Ozzy's pickup truck with the decal, the Brahma bull on it, every morning when he drives into the studio. Yes, the Ace Man throws a curveball and puts some classical on his top 10.
I'm just concerned that this isn't really setting the appropriate tone for the Chaz Norris, Gary Busey fight to the death in the next segment.
Like I said, it'll be surreal with this underneath it.
He's a phony, by the way.
Uh-oh.
He's a phony.
Really? Not
sure. I've seen tapings of that, the master thing that he pulls and strings. They take a cut on it and he's huffing. It's just all angles with him. He doesn't know how to do anything. I'll take him out.
No, don't take him out.
Take him out. Right, take him out to dinner. Rape him.
Big crescendo here, but...
Nice job, Oswaldo.
Thank you.
All right. I want to thank Oswaldo for coming in. I want to thank the great Gary Busey for coming in. But we're going to have to make room for Chaz Norris, who's
Stop
waiting in
Stop your talking.
Wings.
I can't go to sleep.
Oh.
I'm trying to sleep.
I hope you sleep, sweetie.
I know.
It's all Logan's Run for Rachel Perry. It's all just one big game of Logan's Run.
I don't know what that means.
All right. All right.
And that was Oswaldo's
Grammy.
We hope you did not end up too confused.
All right, let's take a break. Chuck Norris, the great Chuck Norris, is waiting in the wings. I feel bad for these poor guys who've been on hold for an hour. Hey, Justin?
Yes.
Yeah. Dishwalla, better version of Toad the Wet Sprocket?
I'm telling you, there's got to be a better version.
I like Dishwalla.
Yeah, I'm a...
All right. Good enough.
Not arguing. See you later, buddy.
I think that was a diss on Toad.
Chris?
Yo.
Yeah, do you feel like I do, Frampton? Worst song ever?
That entire album is like... Just
Frampton
wrecked.
Comes Alive? No.
No,
that's a groundbreaking album.
That's
Come
a great
on.
Album.
Yeah, I agree.
It's horrible.
I agree. It's a little effed out, but certainly not bad. We'll take I'm trying to hang up on you. I'm about to dump coffee onto the phone. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Chuck Norris after this.
You listen to Adam Carol Young show. Call Adam New at 866-901 Adam.
Yeah. 866-901 Adams, the phone number. The great Chuck Norris in studio.
What a thrill.
Chuck is in fantastic shape. Do you mind me asking how old you are? Because you look, I don't know, brand new.
Well, I'm 39 with 26 years experience.
Wow. Hold on.
That will consume the rest of the segment after doing the math on that.
No.
Is that 65?
Yeah.
No way.
No way.
It's
not a man. This is a man's man.
65?
Yeah.
How do you do it?
I don't know.
A lot of virgins.
You know, just train and, you know, just watch what I eat and be happy.
Wow.
That's really the key thing.
Yeah.
You know, and have a purpose, you know, have goals, you know, these are things that help keep you young.
Wow.
Plus I have 4-year-old twins.
They keep you young?
Yeah, they keep me young, too.
My God. I'll tell you, I want some, let's get some of Chuck's blood and a dab of his seed before he leaves. I'm going to need that. Just don't worry about what I need it for. I just feel like it'd be like the flashlight I keep in my car. Who knows? I may use it. I don't know. I may bust someone over the head with it. Maybe there'll be a blackout. I don't know. That point is, let's put it in the car and let's keep it refrigerated. That is amazing. I never really did the math because Chuck obviously was the biggest name in martial arts when I was growing up. I remember in the 70s, I remember seeing the Chuck Norris stretch denim jeans in case you had to kick a guy in the bridge of the nose on the street with the boots on and everything. It was all Chuck Norris, red, white, and blue gi and all this stuff. And as I think back on it, that was 30 years ago.
Exactly.
So unless you were 9... when you were doing all that, and I don't think you were, seemed like an adult male to me. You would have to be the age you are now. Mm-hmm. But, man, you look exactly the same.
It's true. Well, thanks, Adam.
Well, and you know what? For a guy who's probably been hit in the face a lot, your face looks pretty good.
Yeah, I've been fortunate. You know, I've had my nose broke 4 times, and my jaw broke once, but, you know, it's...
That was just his first marriage. Okay, I'll laugh
Where's
at that.
Where's the rim shot?
Where's the rim shot? So tell us how it all started, because everyone knows all the, you know, workout stuff and Walker, Tex Ranger, but where were you born, how did it start, and also how much martial arts stuff was going on in the late 30s, early 40s when you were born
Well, actually, I was born in March 1940, and when I got out of high school, I went, joined the military, and I was sent to Korea, and that's really where I got my first experience in the martial arts, and so I trained over there, there and made my black belt in what it was called Tongsudo then. Now it's Taekwondo. Mm-hmm. And my brown belt in Judo. And I came back and started fighting in 1964. And I won the world title in 1968.
In Judo, Taekwondo?
It was martial arts. I mean, mm-hmm. it was kicking and, you know, mm-hmm. Taekwondo primarily. But it was all the Japanese styles, Chinese styles, you know, Kung mm-hmm. Fu, Karate, Taekwondo. All of them are all, we all fought against each other.
I learned now, do you say Karate or do you say it like Estrada no. said in that episode of Chips, Karate?
No, I say Karate. Oh, yeah. know, the American version.
Disappointing.
He is from Oklahoma, right?
Exactly, exactly.
Chuck, it says here, is the first man in 4,500 years of Taekwondo to be awarded the 8th degree black belt, the Grand Master ranking.
Well, yeah, they presented it to me about 10 years ago. You know, I've been at it for 46 years, and about 10 years ago, they, you know, made me a Grand Master.
Does that mean you could beat all?
No. It just means I have a higher rank. That's all it means.
So you fought, you did, and it's a good example. Chuck Norris, a great example of following your muse and turning it into a buck. Figure out what you want to do. Don't worry about the money part, and then the money will come if you're good at it. Mm. So you excelled in the martial arts. Now you're back from Korea. We're in the 60s, correct? Mm-hmm. You're doing well at this. How do you start turning it into a huge business?
Well, I opened a chain of karate schools here in L.A. Mm-hmm. And in fact, one of my schools is right down here on Wilshire Boulevard, Jun Chong's Karate School. That was one of mine. And I sold it to him. But actually what happened is I sold my schools to a company to go nationwide. They said, look, you got four schools. How about 1,000 Chuck Norris schools? Mm-hmm. So I sold my schools to this company, and we went bankrupt in 2 years. So I lost all my schools. And I started teaching private students, like you did in boxing. And Steve McQueen was one of my students.
Really?
Wow.
So he's the one that encouraged me to pursue an acting career.
Two men! Yeah. Men among men!
Did you get any of his seed?
I wish I had.
See?
No,
do you see? Well, all right, now you know.
McQueen and Norris.
Yeah. Wow. Duking it out.
He was one tough guy, man. He was tough.
Yeah, you know, the thing about Steve McQueen is, unlike today's actors who are basically pussies, they play rebels and everything, but really, Steve McQueen, when he wasn't making a movie, he was on a dirt bike going through the Mojave Desert at 110 miles an hour doing the, you know, Mint 400 Baker to Barstow or something. He was on the bike. Yeah. He was in the car. He was smoking while he was doing it and throwing a crescent kick.
And that's the way it should be. And speaking of tough guys, Danny, you end up working with Bruce Lee, A Way of the Dragon.
Yeah.
Arch rivals, arch nemesis. Who wins that fight in real life?
Well, I'll tell you, when I fought for the world title in New York at Madison Square Garden in 1968, Bruce had this TV show, The Green Hornet.
Mm-hmm.
And he was back there as a guest. And so after, you know, I won the title, they introduced me to Bruce and we started talking and decided to work out together in L.A. And so we worked out a couple of years and then he left for Hong Kong to pursue his movie career. And I didn't hear from him for a couple of years. Then one day out of the blue, he calls me and says, you know, I've done two movies in Hong Kong and they're really successful. I want to do a movie now with a fight scene in the Colosseum in Rome, fight to the death, like two gladiators. And he said, I'd like for you to be my opponent. And, you know, we'll do a fight scene to the death. So kiddingly, I said, well, who wins, Bruce? He said, I win. I'm the star. I said, oh, I see. You want to beat up the world champion because I had the world title then.
Are you into the other parts of the wisdom of the Orient, not just the martial arts or the mixed martial arts? Like a lot of people say, well, the whole reason Bruce Lee is gone is because he screwed up with his feng shui. He had like a chi mirror out in the yard that blew over during a storm, and he didn't fix it, and therefore he died away.
No, he died of an aneurysm.
Caused by the feng shui mirror being around.
No, not really.
No.
No, the thing is, he had an aneurysm, which is, you know, today it's quite common. We know what to do about it now. But in 1972, 73, you know, because Bruce actually came to L.A. because he's having fainting spells. And he came and got a complete physical examination, and I had lunch with him after his exam, and he said, you know, they said I have a body of an 18-year-old. He's 32 then. And the thing is, at that time, They couldn't determine the
couldn't do anything.
The weakness of the blood vessels in the brain.
No doubt exasperated by a spinning heel kick delivered by one Chuck Norris on the grounds of the Coliseum many years earlier.
Don't be modest either. Who wins that fight? You versus Bruce Lee. You respect
got,
the prize.
You got 20 pounds on him, right?
That's probably the most common question ever asked of me. And
Come on, Dave, that's stupid.
I never give an answer because unless I can get in there and prove it, then I never...
Chaz Norris knows who's boss. It's himself. He takes. He could do it. Too modest.
Was Bruce? Was he as good as everyone thought he was? Was he better? Do we not even understand how good Bruce was?
Bruce was incredible. He was an incredible guy. He wasn't a fighter. You know, he never fought professionally. But he could have done real well if he had decided to do that.
I'm reading between the lines.
What are you calling him there?
You actually strapped on the gi and went into the octagon. He was just. He was essentially a glorified dancer.
He was a very strong guy. I read you.
All right, we need to take a break. Bruska, let's harvest some of that seed. I got to do a live read or do it myself. We have the great Chuck Norris is here. World Combat League is what he's promoting. It's going on in Vegas on March 4th. We'll get into how that works and much, much more after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now. 866-901-ADAM.
Chuck Norris, great Chuck Norris in studio. World Combat League, which is coming up in Vegas on March 3rd. I'll tell you, I'm reading, we got some of the famous Chuck Norris movies, and some of these are as timely as the day they were written. Silent Rage. Science created him. Now Chuck Norris must destroy him. Well, maybe that one's not, but here, I'll give you one that is. How about this one? Delta Force, 1986. It's like he had a crystal ball. They don't negotiate with terrorists. They blow them away. I'd say that holds true today. How say you, Chuck?
I pretty much say so, too.
Yeah. I'd like to send you down to the streets of Kabul or whatever they're calling it these days and just start piling bodies up with crescent kicks. How about it? Get your red, white, and blue gi.
I don't know. They're fanatics, boy, I tell you.
I don't care. You got a super instep. I would.
We saw what you did when you went over to the NOM to get the MIAs.
That's right. Come on, buddy. We're going home. Threw Randall Tex Cobb over his shoulder and dragged him back to the U.S. I would just like to see Chuck Norris drop down in the middle of that city while they're burning an effigy of Bush in the red, white, and blue gi.
Yeah.
And do that thing where you take your shoes off and bow to the mat and then just strike the fighting position. Come on! How do you think a red, white, and blue gi would go over? That'd be an awesome look. I would give someone $10,000 just to sprint down the street. Here we do it, you know. Hey, get naked and run through the drive-thru over at the In-N-Out Burger. There, put the red, white, and blue gi on. See if you can make it. See if you make it to the mosque and back. Let's go. Come on, Larry. This is going to be good. Forget running with the bulls. This is the new sport. Chuck, tell us about this new World Combat League, because this stuff is starting to gain momentum. It was all this, you know, octagon stuff, and fighting stuff. It was all this sort of a fringe sport a few years ago now.
Yeah, actually, I started it 30 years ago with Benny Urquidy and Blinky Rodriguez.
Sure, from the Jet Center.
Right, and I formed a 5-person team here in L.A. called the L.A. Stars. And I took this team to different cities and fought teams from like Dallas, Detroit, Chicago, New York, and so forth. Mm-hmm. And we're drawing crowds of 6,000-7,000 people at these events. And at that time, I was still trying to get into my film career. And I thought, man, this kickboxing thing is really catching on. And then I got an offer to do a movie. So I had to make a choice here. Either my film career or I went the film way. But it was in the back of my mind all these years. And once I finished Walker, Texas Ranger, I decided now to form the league again. We'll call the World Combat League, but it's a 6-person team. And what was going to be is just strictly an all-male team.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put it on the website, and I was getting like 50 calls a day or 50 emails a day from fighters saying, I want to join the league. Then all of a sudden I started getting all these emails from women saying, look, if you don't start a league, we want to fight. So we had our first fight in Dallas, where Dallas fought Oklahoma City and Houston fought LA.
What are the rules? What are the parameters of the contest?
Well, each fighter Each fighter goes up and fights only 1 3-minute round.
Mm-hmm.
So in that 3 minutes, they got to let it all hang out. It's full throttle action. In fact, if one fighter tries to slow the pace down, the referee will yell passivity and give a point to the other fighter.
And then Chuck Norris comes out and beats
him. No grappling, et cetera.
No grappling, no grabbing, no clinching. It's got to be stand-up fighting.
Yeah, it's all striking and kicking.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. The tough part about the mixed martial art or the whatever you're calling it, ultimate whatever, is a lot of it turns into a sort of a wrestling match, mm-hmm. and it ends up just looking like a drunken brawl out front of a bar. Somebody gets hold of a guy's shirt or gets hold of a guy's hair or something, and they just sort of roll around on the ground. Scary, but not as exciting as seeing a guy getting socked in the face, or better yet, that spinning helicopter kick to the head.
Well, you know, the thing is, when they go to the ground, it's hard to see anyway, unless you watch it again on television. But if you're there and they go to the ground, you can't see anything.
Mm. Right.
So you have to watch the monitor. But here, it's all stand up, boy, and they get a bonus for a knockout. If they knock you out with a kick, the fighter gets a bonus. That's a
great message for the
but,
kids.
Anyway, LA Star is going to be fighting the Las Vegas Gators, and Denver is going to be fighting Dallas.
So what are they wearing? As far as what are they wearing? A gi? Are they wearing?
Yeah,
trunks?
They're wearing gi bottoms, and then that's it.
Gi bottom. Well, that's a sexy look. Mm-hmm.
The women topless too?
No, yeah. No. The women got to wear halter tops. But,
you might want to think about going with the topless stuff.
But I tell you, Rachel, you'd enjoy it. I mean, these girls are very exciting. You know, the fact that you know they really get in there and really mix it up. These girls.
Women are clearly more aggressive than men. I mean,
definitely, Adam. You better believe it.
That's good. Really I love punching and kicking.
You got to come watch this. I'm going to give you guys a VIP invitation. So if you guys want to come see this, you will really enjoy it.
Here's the difference between men and women, which is if I'm working in the kitchen next to my wife and she steps on my foot. I say, ow, you stepped on my foot. If I step on her foot, she hits me.
Yeah, so does Gina. My wife does the same reaction. Yeah.
They have a reaction.
Yeah, they do.
The thing is if you take two men and you put them in the ring, and one of the guys gets socked by the other guy, he thinks, man, that hurt. Wow, this guy's got a good punch. Women, when they get hit by the woman, thinks, I'm going to kill this bitch.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between men and women.
We had one fight, and this one gal that did a fake front kick and hit the girl right on the chin with a punch.
Mm.
The girl goes down, and this girl's standing over, daring her to get up.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Bring it on!
That's exactly what she was doing.
Well, I'm going to pitch a tent if you keep going this way.
If someone gets down on the ground, though, are you allowed to just kick them while they're down?
No, once they're down, it's like a boxing match or whatever. Once they're down, then they give them the 8 count or whatever.
And what do they wear? Are they wearing light gloves? What are they wearing on?
Regulation boxing gloves.
Regulation, yeah. Just like a kickboxing.
Right,
box.
Just like, just
10, 12-ounce gloves.
Right, or what is it?
Where's the next fight?
In Las Vegas at the Orleans Hotel, March 3rd, which is a Friday night. And L.A. will be fighting Las Vegas, and Denver will be fighting Dallas.
Now, are your hands registered as lethal weapons?
No. You know, that way back in the 60s, they used to say that.
That's what I want.
Yeah. But no, you don't have to register your hands.
It'd be nice, though, right?
But there's so many guys out there that are proficient in the martial arts now.
I'm just saying, if some hooligan tried to rough you up in the parking lot here after you left and you killed them with your bare hands, the court would look at that differently than if Bruska or Dave Damashek did it. They would say, you're a trained professional. I've seen Con Air, is what I'm saying. Yeah, I know why he went in the joint. You're trained. They would argue you're a killing machine. You don't need a weapon.
I'll tell you, it's a no-win solution. You know, you get into an altercation, and, then you wind up getting sued.
Right.
So there's a no-win solution.
How many people try to fight you just because they're like, it's Chuck Norris?
No, actually, I don't get that, Rachel.
Come on.
No, I don't.
Come on, Rachel.
I really don't get it.
Come on.
I
would love that. Pride.
At the very least, I know you're a modest man, clearly, and it's one of the many reasons I've fallen very much in love with you in these last 10 minutes, but... Is it fair to say you could take every celebrity? There's not a celebrity out there who would challenge you. Arnold Schwarzenegger, he would be no match for you, yes?
Dave, I'm not going to answer that question. The thing is, of course you feel like you can, I feel like I can take care of the situation.
It's a weapon, Everyone but Carradine.
Oh, David. I did a movie with David,
Yeah.
Lone Wolf McQuade.
That's right.
And I did a fight scene.
Yeah, he was the heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Alice?
Good morning.
Yeah, you a huge fan of Chuck Norris?
Good morning, Adam. First, I want to tell you that you are amazing. You're absolutely brilliant, Adam.
Wow.
I love your show. I love your show.
Thank you.
Your brain is like a factory. You're amazing.
Right.
You're absolutely amazing.
Putting out stale biscuits, but yes. Where are you from?
I'm from Bucharest, Romania, but I'm of course I'm coasting from LA.
Mm-hmm. And you have a question for Chuck?
And I have a question. Good morning, Chuck Norris.
Good morning.
I can't believe I'm talking to you. We had two things in Romania about 10 years ago. We had lots of Coke, American Coke, and Chuck Norris, the Walker, the Ranger.
Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah.
Coke the beverage. That's about all you need.
That was all we needed, and it was amazing. I mean, nobody was on the streets when your movie was on.
Really? You mean the TV show Walker, Texas Ranger?
Exactly.
So when that was on in your native Romania, or where are you from? Yeah. Then the streets were barren.
Exactly.
Everyone was home watching.
Exactly. Thank you so much for translating, Adam.
No, that's all right. I just want to get the clarity down.
Wow.
Do you travel?
Thank you.
Are you huge when you go abroad?
I tell you, Adam, with the Walker, Texas Ranger, it airs in 85 countries, a billion viewers.
Wow.
1 billion viewers worldwide.
Yeah. I like that message, too. This is how we all are. Bring it on. We all drive four bys, and we'll kick your ass. So come on down. Who's next? Who wants to start trouble?
So, Chuck, when are you going to do a new movie?
Right now I'm focusing on this league. You know, this is taking a lot of my time. We're putting on events every month. And so this is pretty much what I'm doing right now full time.
Well, can I say this? You know, I read earlier that you turned down the part of John Kreese in Karate Kid. You chose not to be, and of course Miyagi trained Danielson and turned him into a champion of the All Valley Championship. I will ask this favor of you. I would like you to make a man of me. Teach me the arts. Teach me the way.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Sounds good to me.
You're still a virgin?
Yeah. What
being a real man, yes.
Hold on. This is the song. This will play during your training montage.
So you're asking him just to kick your ass, right? Just give him one punch.
My age indicates that I'm a mature adult male, therefore a man. But I'm not a man like Chuck Norris. I want to be a man's man.
Yes, your license says you're a man.
Right.
But no one else would claim that.
No, exactly. Chuck Norris is going to take me under his wing.
Did you in fact turn that role down, Chuck?
No,
you didn't.
No, I didn't.
Really?
No.
And now that's a slap in the face that you weren't approached. I'm angry.
I agree.
No, actually, at that particular time, I was in full swing with my career. I was doing, the Delta Force movies, the Missing in Action movies.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
yeah, you didn't need him to toss you that bone.
No.
Yeah, you were a leading man, not a bit player.
At that particular time, yeah.
But you trained Bob Barker, though.
Oh yeah,
Price is Right.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, incredible guy. He's 82 years old and still trains every day.
You're going to train me, and we're not going to stop until I can beat the hell out of Bob Barker.
How about it? Yes.
That's going to take a lot of training, Dave.
Right. Or if Bob passes away, I think you'll realize you're trained, too.
It's a victory either way, yes.
Yeah. But I still say the fight has to go on. In this corner, Bob Barker's corpse. They fought to a draw. It's like kissing your sister. Hold your head up, Dave. There'll be other corpses to fight.
I gave 110%.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Chuck Norris after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now at 866-901-ADAM. Let's do this.
I thought we were going to have Chuck for another break, but as it turns out, the helicopters went down on the wrong side of the DMZ. And those men need to get out of there. Chuck's putting on his rappelling gear and he's ready to go. He's being dropped in there. And by the way, here's the thing. I like this caveat before every adventure. We will deny all existence of this mission. If you are captured, you don't exist. By the way, I don't go at that point. Now, listen, if something happens, if I twist an ankle out there in radio, hey, I need some help, and you guys aren't on the other end of it, I'm not leaving this office. We need to hammer out this one small detail, or I don't get on the C-130. How about that? Chuck Norris, a great Chuck Norris. Thank you for coming by.
Adam, it's really a pleasure. And I'd like to invite you guys to Vegas March 3rd. You know, be my guest there. If you guys can make it, I would love to have you down there.
Wonderful.
Yeah, awesome.
We are going to Vegas, I believe.
March 9th. I'm trying to move it a week earlier for you.
it'd be fine. I'd be fine with that. World Combat League, everybody. This is how it was meant. Not a couple of guys wrestling around on the floor in their underpants like somebody dropped a quarter at a gay bar. No. This is guys. Marcus of Queensberry, but with a shin to the face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nice job.
The way men do it.
That's right.
Yep.
Still ironic, the Queensberry's right in the name there with the fisticuffs.
Now, real quick, you could take out Steven Seagal, right?
Ponytail. One yank on that ponytail and then a driving.
You'd finish him inside of 10 seconds, yes?
David, you're putting the pressure on me here,
bud. Come on. He has to re-enter this community. You go home to your apartment. He hangs with Hollywood
Tops. Van Damme?
No, I don't.
Oh,
no, okay. I'm going back to Dallas.
That's what I mean. Yeah. All right, thank you, Chuck.
Yeah, thank you, Adam. Thanks, David.
For
thank
by.
You.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Nice meeting you too.
Yeah, Shidoshi. Hi, Shidoshi. Mm. You bow. Take your shoes off. Bow the mat. I like the reverence.
Guys, like I say, you guys do have an invitation.
Thank you. I would love to see that. Yeah. Good to see you, Chuck.
Love it.
Yeah. All right, Chuck Norris, everybody. Solid. 60. 65. Did we figure out?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's good genes and good living.
I think from the 15 minutes we just spent with him, I think I'm officially now a black belt.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's an eighth degree, so.
Right, so by that.
You could be one. Yeah. All right, we have to keep rolling along. We're into our Grammy show. We did it yesterday. We're doing it today as well, talking about songs we love, songs we hate, spirited debate. One thing no one's going to argue about is the karaoke songs, the get-to-know-yourself karaoke songs done by everyone here. Rachel's done it. Dave's done it. Everyone's done it. There's a few stragglers on the list, such as Mike the Intern. Mike, how say you?
I say yay.
You say yay.
I say yay.
Mike, you wrote a song. Are you queued up there?
I am now.
Mike Lynch? All right. You have a song, which is basically you're going to sing your introduction. Tell us about yourself, about your history, and what you're doing here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
All right. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Little Weezer.
My name is Michael, and I am an intern.
Sell it now.
Thanks for that position. This is who I am.
I'm going to need to see you in my office. Don't leave without seeing
me. Surfer in junior high, then a debater in high school.
Wow.
Studied politics in college, fell away from religion.
Nice.
Worked through college.
The message is fine, but look, energy.
Scott.
Missed a little bit there.
All right, it's all right. You got to catch up.
I'll get back after this.
You're not
this.
Exactly committing here.
No. It was a little too quick for me.
All right.
After this bit, it'll come back.
It better.
I was a decent debater. You became a master debater.
Yeah, I get it.
It was the
kind
charisma.
Of a nerd.
Shocker.
But I like poker and sports. Poker and sports. That's
it?
That's what I had to go out on, yeah.
Well, I wouldn't call it inspiring. I would not say that was inspired at all, but you showed up, you sung your song, we've learned a few things about you. It would have been more entertaining just to hold his resume up to the microphone. So we learn and we move forward. All right, nice job, Mike. Again, I'm going to need you to see you before you leave. Stop by. Don't stop by. Don't leave without stopping by my office. I need you to shut the door. Please shut the door. Any worse thing a boss can tell you than the casual, don't leave without seeing me, Bert. Stop by. And then when you enter the office, could you shut the door?
You want to go ahead and get that door there?
Yeah, that's right.
Grab a seat. But
not nearly as good as my have a special needs child backhanded knock on the half open door. Rob, do you have a minute?
Yeah, come on in, Adam. I'm tied up right now. Busy day, but make time for you. What can I do for you?
Jake's having a bad day.
That little angel?
Tammy called. He's just having a tough day.
I hate to hear that.
Yeah. She got her hands full back at the house, so she called.
Hey, don't be modest. You both do.
Yeah.
It's a heavy load you two are giving.
If I could just... I'll bring my work home. I got a computer.
Oh, listen,
at home.
Say
just,
no more. Absolutely.
If I could just...
Go ahead.
Fantastic. And I'm going to need next week, too. He's having a tough week.
That is absolutely fine. You two, the work that you two are doing, what you two are doing with that boy...
Yeah. I'm taking him snowboarding.
You're special.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Get out of here.
We're going snowboarding.
The work will be here when you get back, believe me.
We're going out drinking. After that. And then we're going whoring. He's having a tough week.
You know best.
Okay, that's all I'm saying. Special needs, not a bad thing to establish with the boss early on. Never will question it. Never will know. Never, he's not going to ask to check up on you or anything like that.
You become and the a missus hero, are heroes. Right?
And you get. And meanwhile, the single guy. Here's how that works. Hey, listen, someone's got to go down to Vancouver on Saturday and flush out this Jennings account. Single guy. Go to the airport.
I've taken to the hockey game this weekend.
What are you
weekend?
Got waiting for you at home? A toaster oven? Come on.
I've finally got
You have no family.
I finally got a date with a
Bert
man.
Has
I'm
a special
taking
needs
the game.
Child. Get on the plane.
Oh, man.
Yes, I am telling you, we've learned it from Kimmel. If you show up at work and establish yourself as an independent single guy, you'll be doing all the crappy weekend assignments. Meanwhile, if you're the family guy, you'll have to go nowhere. And all you got to do is work dinner in. Do you know how long it's been since I sat down at the dinner table with my family? At work home in too. Since I've sat down in my home with my family, I haven't seen my daughter in 4 days. Oh, okay, you're the police. Stay home. Go home now.
You want to raise the bar, though. You don't want just a child at home, a special needs child, raises you from getting out of weekend gigs to now being a courageous hero.
What Thank do you mean you learned this from Kimmel?
I learned that the writers over there, half of them are single, the other half are married and have kids. The single ones have to do all the crap work on the weekends, and the single guys get to go, well, that's my wife, I got kids, I got recitals and rehearsals, I haven't been, there's a soccer game on Saturday, I got to go. And we always just let them off because we figured, well, that's punishment enough. You having to watch your 8-year-old drag a soccer ball around the park for 4 hours is punishment enough. But still, all the work falls in the lap of the single guys. And you can't complain because, like I said, there's nothing waiting for you. There's a bong and TiVo waiting for you at home. Come on. Get going.
Maybe you'll meet someone.
Yeah, someone drop them off at the airport. All right. Let's keep moving here. What time is it? We want to do some sports? Want to do some news?
I think we're going to do a Dave's List, but we can do news and sports if you're prepared.
Well, yeah, let's do that. Let's do some news and let's do some sports. I think it's been a while. Okay. If you guys are queued up and ready to go with that.
I'm game. God.
Why not? Neil Entwistle has been arrested in England for the murder of his wife and infant daughter who were found shot in their home in Hopkinton, Massachusetts. Entwistle did not attend the funeral of his wife and child and flew to London around the time of the shootings.
Yeah, that's a bad sign. That raises red flags as far as the law enforcement community when you're on a plane and they're in a casket.
Yeah. Churches in Alabama are taking extra precautions to prevent arsonists from burning down their churches after 9 Baptist churches have been burned in the last week. Apparently, 59 churches have been burned in Alabama in the last 5 years, 19 of which have been ruled arson.
Yeah. What are the other ones? Thunder strikes? Maybe. And if so, doesn't that make you question
Accidents
your beliefs?
With the incense?
Yeah, too many. Here's the thing. When you mix the sacrificial booze with the candles, there's going to be trouble. A lot of booze, a lot of candles, and no sprinkler system in churches. Ever look up and see a sprinkler system? Mm. No, don't have it.
The Lord will save them.
I'm guessing he's going to intervene any second now.
The God wants it that way. A zoo in Germany has 6 gay penguins that were humping each other regularly, and then they brought in female penguins so they could mate. Mm-hmm. The fancy birds wanted nothing to do with the females.
Well, you know, I know the gays like to point at a lot of the gay animals.
Are you calling me? What are you calling me?
I'm calling you one. What I'm calling you the honorary the gays.
What are you?
The gays like to point at animals and go, "Hey, look, there's some penguins that are gay too. What's up?" Which is a weird argument for me. Look at those salmon. It's two dude salmons getting it on, huh? How about that then? How say you? But here's the thing: the zoo, it's really like prison. You can't tell if someone's gay. They're in there. What are you going to do? What are your choices? Everyone who's in prison is gay. You have to be. You're in there for 12 years. What are you going to do? You're going gay.
You've been to prison?
That's a good point.
Adam?
I have not, but I'll tell you, if I did, I would go pre-gay before I went in. Instead of making such a tough transition into the gayness, I'd go gay about 6 months before I went in the pokey. Pardon the pun.
That only makes good sense.
It'd be a seamless transition.
You're going to have a lot of other things to deal with once you're in
transition?
There.
A seamless transition?
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, I don't think the birds tattooed under Rachel's torso are gay. Not flying in and out of that vagina all the
no.
time. They are.
It's hilarious.
Not that nappy birdhouse. All right. Where were we? Gay penguins. Gay penguins.
It's funny.
Yes.
You two were the big winners at the 48th Annual Grammy Awards. They were nominated for 5 awards. They won in every category. Madonna opened the show with the Gorillaz. Green Day won Record of the Year for Boulevard of Broken Dreams. Kanye West, Mariah, and John Legend all nominated for 8 awards. They all won 3. John Legend is the best new artist. And everybody had their awards speeches, mm-hmm. thanking, blah, 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 blah. Well, these are some of some people thanked some people, and this is maybe what they said.
I'd like to thank God, first of all.
I don't know what's going on, but thank you, Jesus and God.
I'd like to thank God. I'm glad I wrote them down.
Yeah, a lot of people thanking God. I noticed I like Kanye's thanks because he just used first names. He
do you want to hear that? We have that right
here.
Yeah, he won Best Rap Album.
I had no idea. I had no idea.
He was pulling a big list out of thank
which,
you.
Which was really, it didn't come off as very funny.
I'm glad I wrote
shocking,
down.
Totally. He's usually so pointed.
John Bryan, and I never do the thank you list, but John Bryan for being an inspiration to me to help make a better album and also help make me a better person.
I may not have all those.
My mom.
I might have cut it
Gabe,
off before.
Who's my publicist. So just imagine being my publicist, how hard that's got to be.
Imagine being named Gay.
Gabe.
But yeah, he went on. He was like, I want to thank Dan, Steve, Fred. I was praying he'd say Adam just so I could lay claim to it, like a coffee mug at a gift shop when you're traveling. Hey, there we go.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Kanye, wraparound shades,
man,
black gloves.
Do you see that outfit he was wearing?
Perfect.
It was awesome. It was
perfect.
So cool.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. And then he changed, and then Kelly Clarkson waved her gold purse at everybody.
Yeah.
Well, during
you say
her...
that was a cool outfit, but what if Bruska came in here dressed like that tomorrow? You wouldn't say so cool.
Him. I would high-five him. I think, look at those glasses. Bruska's a coolie. Look at him.
Thank you.
I didn't mean coolie like that. I meant...
He didn't mean like built a railroad. He meant like cool. Cat.
He's. Yeah. It just came out. Anyway, I'm Rachel Berry, and that's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number
Rachel
one
Berry.
Sports. Number one sports.
NBA. Ooh, I'm sorry.
Stepped on
I'm
your own
do
intro.
It. NBA. L.A. Kobe's back on track. After their little swoon recently, they beat the Rockets in Houston. Suns won at home. The Clippers, Golden State, Portland, and Seattle, all on the road. All losers. Now, NHL. Ducks and Kings both lose. Sharks win. Big story out of the NHL, though, right now is this gambling scandal. You know, Phoenix Coyotes assistant Rick Tocchet has been bankrolling the illegal gambling ring the last couple of years, so they say. And the most interesting part of this story is that Wayne Gretzky's wife, the lovely Janet Jones, is being implicated. They say she's been making some bets on the side. Not Wayne-o, though. not Nancy Pants Wayno. You know, listen, but he's not even man enough. First of all, his lady is cooler than he is. She's betting on football and stuff. But oh, I don't do that. Anybody who ever saw him play knows, watch him play hockey knows that he's not the sort of guy who ever sticks his nose into the fray, lets other people fight.
I gotta cut in. I'm having an amazing fantasy of you walking out to your car about 11:30, and all of a sudden Wayne Gretzky popping up from behind an SUV, attacks you, punches you in the solar plexus. You go down to the ground. You crumble down to the ground. He holds a hockey stick over his head, does that thing with two hands. He's about to come down. He starts his swing. Mid-swing, a phantom comes out of the night. Forearm breaks the stick in half. It's Chaz Norris. He's been waiting out there just in case this day happens. And he proceeds to whip the snot out of Gretzky.
He does that, and Gretzky with his last bit of strength runs off like the coward he is. And then Chuck Norris says to me, "That was just lesson one."
That's right.
Right.
And a long list of lessons.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the beginning.
Here's listen to Wayne. Listen to what a sissy is when asked if he's involved in this versus his wife.
You know, any time that there's a spouse involved, that's what people are going to think. But she's her own person. And, you know, I think that had I been involved, I would have got a phone call. I'm pretty hard to hide.
You're some guy, Wayne. What a husband. Way to stand up for the old lady. You creep. Now, the Winter Olympics get going tomorrow.
Yeah.
Over in Torino, Italy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody's talking about it. Everybody's starting to get geared up. You know, the big opening ceremonies tomorrow. The Insider even sat down with, Winter Olympics past darling Tanya Harding to talk about what's going on with her life. You know, she's gotten a lot of criticism. You know, you may have heard she kneecapped or was a part of kneecapping her competitor, Nancy Kerrigan. And she then went on a couple years ago to hit her fella in the face with a hubcap. She's a classy lady.
And it's funny how we've seen Nancy Kerrigan on the Skating with Celebrities. Tanya Harding not aged quite as well as...
Surprising. She's let herself go a little bit. But she says that there's room. You know, people say, oh, she's not much of a lady. But she says there's room for her type of broad in this world.
What is a lady supposed to be? The one who sits there and drinks tea like this every single day?
Yes. No. Yeah, as I said earlier, you have only two options in this world. Ladies who drink tea with their pinky extended, and you, Tanya Harding. There is no in-between.
That's true.
So, fellas of the world, choose.
Yeah.
Those are your two choices there.
Wow. This is vexing. I'm going to go with Tanya. that pinky would get obnoxious.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
The great Oswaldo Castillo. You know him as Oswaldo, and he knows me as I swear I'm going to hold your mouth and physically make you say my name correctly one day, Ozzy. He will be in here. He's got another Grammy report for us. Also, we'll hear Dave's favorite song of all time and least favorite of all time as well. Mm. All of that right after this.
No, it's ADAM. Thinking how to spell it, though.
Yeah. 866-901 Adam doing our Grammy show with a little wisdom of the Orient sprinkled in somewhere in the middle in the name of Chuck Norris. Now, Ozzy is back in studio. Yes, Ozzy?
Yes, I do. I hear.
You're here. Okay. Would you like to try to pronounce my name one more time?
Well, say Adam.
That's right. Say Adam.
Ace.
Ooh, I like Change that. It. I like that. Touche. All right, he's calling me Ace. Oswaldo, I've known for 16 years.
It only took him 16 years to go with the Ace.
We swung a hammer for many years together. Now I got the radio and decided my faithful partner, Oswaldo, should be a part of it. Ozzy, we've had doing the reviews. We also we decided to have him review the Grammys. Sheck, however, has not gotten out his favorite song and least favorite song. I think we ought to hear that, and then we'll go into the Grammy review. Sheck, how say you?
All right. I'll just start right out with my favorite song. No.
We're from the Norwich, the great football team. We're to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
No, I, kid. I do, really? But it does touch me, though, still.
Why not? I
can hear it 2 million times more than I already have, the 2 million, and it would still rank up there. But
conservative estimate. Listen, I think I've heard it 2 million
times. I'll say this. Hoisting it on the rest of us.
I will say this, that, you know, there are many different ways I could go with it. If I were going to go with, you know, total albums, you know, I span the Paul's Boutique by the Beastie Boys, anything Johnny Cash, the Led Zeppelins, the Ramones,
yes,
the Built the Spills,
Boys, yes.
Modest Mouse, Spoon, I could do any of these.
Mm-hmm.
But no. Mike Lynch, please, share the greatest song of all time.
Beatles.
That's right.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night.
No greater song.
Simple.
Take these broken wings and learn to fly.
Lovely song.
Interesting.
All your life.
I had no Beatles on our list so far.
You were only waiting for this moment to
arise. It is a nice song. I don't know why McCartney did Helter Skelter last night, which is one of the worst Beatles songs at the Grammys.
It would have been nice for him to sit down with the acoustic and do this one, right?
Take these sunken eyes and learn to see.
I don't like seeing guys who are 65 and wearing leather vests rock. You know, he wanted to rock. I didn't want him to rock.
You are only waiting for this moment to be free.
Interesting. It's diabolically simple.
Blackbird fly. Dark black night.
Can't beat it. You know, listen, people are working too hard.
You may be
They're
right.
They're trying if you're going to go beyond the Beatles. You know, who's the best band of all time? I can hear a Led Zeppelin argument, but other than that, you know, the Beatles, right?
Rachel Perry says Danzig.
Well, I didn't say it's the best band. I enjoy the song.
Yeah.
There's many songs that could have been chosen, but I feel like it.
Now. That's the good, you know. Mm-hmm. That's the great. There's a lot of bad.
There is a lot of bad. It's hard
to
choose.
There's so many ways you can go with it. But for me, I like this thing in the late 80s when the Billy Joels of the world decided that Billy Joel sang a song about being in Vietnam, how tough it was to be in the Nam.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Hey, Joel, you weren't in the Nam. What are you singing a song about it for? Like, well, how tough it was
over there. Chaz Norris was there, I'll tell you that right now.
That's not Billy. That's right. Now, there's another one that also a man sings about something that he knows nothing about. Mm. Please, we talked about the Eagles, the most overrated popular band probably of all time.
Yes.
Now, they all broke off into their own little projects.
I smell some smuggling.
You know what's coming. It's Glenn Frey's classic.
Yeah. Move it through Miami and sell it in L.A.
hey, Glenn Frey, because you were on two episodes of Miami Vice doesn't make you an expert on moving drugs from Cuba.
I could almost hear the conversation he had with the Eagles when it was time to break it up. Listen, we're doing a lot of annoying music together. We got Witchy Woman. We have all these crappy songs. But if we spread out, we can cover more ground. I think I could go off. I'll tell you what. I'll go do Smuggler's Blues. And you go, Don Henley, do the Down at the Sunset Grill. Or, do Dirty Laundry. There's a good one. Do Dirty Laundry. I'll do We'll cover more ground. I hate to break it up, but we can be more effective at annoying the United States if we did this.
You know, a lot of people are down about a lot of things. A lot of people get the blues.
Yeah.
But Glenn Frey has the smuggler's blues. And there's one more, and we talked also about the fall from grace. You know, the Rolling Stones obviously had some great records with Exile on Main Street and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went down the Steel Wheels and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Here's, you know, the great Beach Boys, you know, Pet Sounds, you know, Brian Wilson, one of the great musical geniuses of the 20th century. And then by the late 80s, here's what happens to them.
Well, anytime you have Stamos sit in on a conga, you know there's trouble.
This is a shame.
Anytime Stamos dons the Dayglow orange tank top and fires up the conga drum, there's going to be trouble.
Oh, no.
Kokomo.
I believe this song was crafted solely for the Tom Cruise epic Cocktail. Cruise plus bartending plus the Beach Boys equals...
Yeah.
It is a wonderful 90 minutes.
It's horrible, but to me, still not as annoying as some of the
You can't do worse than this song. Kokomo.
I am telling you, Cold Hearted Snake by Paul Abdul, I think it's done worse.
But that you understand this is by the same people.
Yes, I understand that. That's right.
The Fall from Grace.
Paul Abdul never put out Pet Sounds.
Right.
I understand.
Yeesh.
There's a chasm. But you hate the song, but you must love the word Kokomo.
I do love to say Kokomo. And I do love to watch the movie Cocktail and delight in its ridiculousness.
Yes.
Cocktails and Dreams, in case you forgot. That's the name of their bar.
Yeah. Those were the 80s. All right. Now we have, and I would like to play one of my favorite songs underneath, since we're running out of time, since we're run under Ozzy's report from the Grammys. You have, what is this report, Ozzy? People that should have won a Grammy and didn't?
Yeah.
Okay. He paints a picture, doesn't he, ladies and gentlemen? We will first hear a specially crafted Grammy song for Ozzy. It's the intro. Let's hear that.
And that was
Grammy.
Wait, that was the end. Now, here we go.
Tell us about some Grammys.
We want to know it.
Grammys.
You have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo, tell us.
I am now giving you my pick for the Grammys.
I picked this nose. I like that. Yeah.
Boulevard of Broken Dream by Green Day Wong for Record of the Year.
But yes, what was the name of the group?
Green Day Wong.
Okay.
For Record of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mariah Carey, We Belong Together, should have a Wong.
Yeah, it was heartbroken.
For Album of the Year, U2 won with How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Bong.
Right.
Bomb.
I had an atomic bomb first year of junior college. My stepmom found it, threw it out.
Who I think Paul McCartney should have a Wong with House, with Chaos and Creation in Backyard.
Okay, let's just keep moving. Let's just keep moving.
The Chaos. And Creation in the Backyard.
Chaos and Creation in the Backyard. Paul McCartney should have won.
Mm-hmm. I wish some of the Latin categories would have been in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Here are some examples.
Mm-hmm.
Best Mexican. Mexican American Album.
Oh, I see.
Mexican.
Okay.
Luis Miguel won with Mexico en la Piel.
Uh-huh. They didn't televise those? Is that what happened? They just had that at the pre-whatever?
No.
No? Okay.
I pick, Ramon Ayala y su Bravo del Norte.
Yeah.
I think it's better.
I know. I lost my shirt on that bet. Got crushed.
Finally.
Had him on a parlay with Jaguares. Got killed. Yeah.
He's coming in the home stretch here. He said finally.
Sorry.
Finally. In the Best Tejano Album category, Little Joe y La Familia won with their album Chicanísimo.
Uh-huh.
Aviso, Shawl have won with The Power of Friend.
Yeah, I know.
The Grammy left, this review call.
Yeah, it left the reviewer call. Somehow the ER, it came, it hung out for a while, and then it left.
I underlined the ER, too, twice.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Ozzy. Left that reviewer called?
The Grammy left this reviewer called.
Yeah. Ozzy, everybody. Nice job.
And that was Oswaldo's
Grammy.
We hope you did not end up too confused. Oh, no, Oswaldo.
All right, let's hear one of my songs for favorite. This wasn't on my original list, and I was skipping a little rope last night doing a little soul searching, and I thought, remember that number I was holding up to you for a while ago? Yeah. Oh, you have it. I thought, you know what? This is one of the greatest songs of all time.
Under forgotten for some
forgotten
reason.
About.
Smokey Robinson and the Miracles are spectacular.
They are.
Now if there's a smile,
this song has soul, has rhythm. It's a great message. Trying to fool the public. He's broken up with his lady. Trying to keep a stoic face on out in public, but behind the scenes, the tears of a clown.
Marvin Gaye, Al Green, you know, Otis Redding, Stevie Wonder, all great, but let's not forget
Let's not forget Smokey.
Adam's favorite songs all have a very similar theme, I feel like, about people feeling sad about something and pretending to be something else, or not pretending to be something else.
Interesting. Well, not the Nutcracker theme.
Yeah, that one too.
Peace, love, and understanding. Power of strength, that one does.
That one. Well, I guess, yeah, that was the only one I was comparing it to.
Two's a theme. Here it is. This is a bass line. Yeah, people forgot about this one. And it gets lumped in with other Motown things like Dancing in the Streets and other songs like that that kind of blow. I'm trying to think, if I was in a band, I think I'd like to do this song. The whole orchestra up there. Backup singers. Whole wall of sound behind you.
Ashamed of his very feminine voice.
Right.
Sounds terrific.
Yeah. Working Taliachi and the crying opera clown. Trying to keep a surface hit. Great bass here. Take ourselves a break. Yeah. Smokey. We got a little more show to go. What are we going to do? A little more karaoke action?
If you want, I was hoping to get your best song of all time. The best song.
The best. Oh, geez. They're like my kids, you know? I hate them all. No. It's hard to pick. Please, that could have been up there. Could have been number one. Getting very close.
We also want to weigh in Tad.
What you wanted to do. Yeah.
We don't want to do that as well.
Okay. Let's weigh Tad. That's what I think we need to do. We'll do that after this.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. He's so hot.
Yeah. All right. A little more time to go. Big Tad has waddled into studio. He's got to lose some weight. We kid because we care, Tad. We're trying to shame you out of morbid obesity.
I totally understand that.
Wow, I like that. So what we're going to do, we tried last week. It didn't work out.
Yeah, you guys put a weight of 12 and a half pounds, which is, you know, if I starve myself to death, then yeah, that will work. But I worked out
I say you're one snot rocket and a mild bowel movement away from 10 pounds. That's what I believe.
You ever watch Celebrity Fit Club and the guy gives them a decent amount of weight to lose, like 5 or 6 pounds?
Yes.
That's logical. That can happen, but
right.
12 and a half.
But he's talking to Gunnar Nelson, who weighs 171 pounds. Yes, he should lose 5 pounds in a week. You are two Gunnar Nelsons.
No, he's talking to the guy from D12.
The black guy. The massive black man.
Yeah.
What's he got to lose?
Last time I saw, they gave him like a weight of 5 or 6 pounds to lose.
Okay, but those are celebrities, Tad, and you're a lackey.
Yeah, and by the way, if you change your diet a little bit, if you cut out the 4 dozen Whoppers a week, maybe you'd go down. But, you know, and we're not doctors, by the way. It's not us.
Yeah.
You were lucky enough to meet with, you're at least trying to improve yourself. You met one of the foremost self-help people in the country, Dr.
North?
Phil, over the week. Oh.
Dr. Phil, yeah.
If something doesn't happen dramatically in this young man's life, it would astound me if he was alive in 6 months.
I forgot about that conversation.
Well, I mean, I think your consumption is what's really troubling to Dr. Phil.
It's not unusual for him to eat a dozen burritos, a couple of dozen tacos, multiple hamburgers, all kinds of desserts. I mean, the amount of food he's eating is somewhere between 13 and 20,000 calories a day.
True. Sad.
And by the way, Blowhard Phil, we'll do the lard ass math. Thank you. We'll assume that he's not living off of pemmican and stream water, if in fact he's 1,000 pounds. He's eating burritos and tacos and enchiritos and churros and Cheerios and raviolios.
I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing there's some jelly donuts in there.
Do-si-dos, Alaman laughs, promenade, swing your partner.
Don't say do-si-dos, man.
Sorry, buddy. All right, so Big Tad is eating a lot now.
Shirt's off.
He's raping the scale. He doesn't get on a scale, he rapes it.
Making sure it's even so we don't get any.
All right, is it balanced out?
Yeah.
All right. Now let's hear Tad's favorite song. By the way, we did get your favorite song and least favorite in here.
Yeah. This song reminds me of sophomore year in high school.
Mmm. Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with Pearl Jam.
No way.
Great band.
I do this karaoke every single time I go out.
Tell me next time so I don't stumble into the bar mistakenly and see you doing.
How dare you?
All right. So, ironically, Tad may not be alive if he keeps eating this way. How about you hop on that scale and let's figure out our starting point.
No worst song. I really
get
hate
on the
song.
Scale. Okay. We'll hear the worst song while you're getting on the scale. Push a Little Daisies.
I hate this song.
I love this song.
I hate the. You know what? We may be a great band to some people, but this one song, I cannot handle that.
It's supposed to be bad, though.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah, well, okay, then it's bad to me. I really hate this song.
Yeah, I'm saying, you know what you're doing? You're watching, you're listening to Spinal Tap and saying, these guys are not a good rock band. It's a joke. You're falling for it.
Yeah, this song sucks.
What are we at? Well, it does, but it's supposed to.
That's another criteria.
322.
It's allowed to suck if it's supposed to suck.
I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry, Rachel. It's 322.
322.
So he went up. So he put the weight back on that he lost 4 pounds last week.
Super Bowl weekend.
I understand.
Because you ruined your metabolism by not eating anything. And then
low self-esteem.
Yeah, not getting, no sex.
Yeah, all right, it's getting sad. I'm going to start crying.
What, this song or me?
Both. Look, here's the thing.
Dramatically in this young man's life.
6 pounds. I'm going to need 6 pounds by this time next Thursday.
Could do that.
You could?
Oh, yeah.
Then I'm going to need 7. Yes, okay. You're way too common.
Yeah,
7 pounds.
All right, that's cool.
7 pounds, otherwise...
Oh, I'm waiting for this.
Dean the gay barber is going to shave off half of your horrible Fu Manchu, and you'll have to make it the entire week walking around with half a mustache and half a Fu Manchu. It sounds easy, but it's really it's diabolically simple, but it's going to be painful. You win, you go to Vegas with the perfect 10 girl.
Wait a second, that's going to hurt him with the ladies, though, if you shave off half his Fu Manchu.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yes, it's gonna hurt him. Like you putting garlic on a turd is gonna make it taste worse. thanks for laughing, Ted.
No problem,
buddy. Jeff Probst, dear friend, Jeff Probst, coming in tomorrow. I want to thank Chaz Norris, welcome anytime. Gary Busey for coming in. Of course, the great Oswaldo. And again, Jeff Probst tomorrow. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.